One Man Revolution, Volume 5, Episode 80. Ah, we're back. Back again. Back on a Friday night live from the bunker and beyond. It is the One Man Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Revolutionary. I'm joined by
the comrade
and
the Canadian.
Oh, yes. And the peanut gallery is on the bed, I guess. She's further away. Man, it has been, it will be only 903 days until the next president.
All we got.
You know, and hopefully it's not a member of the American Fascist Party. And you know what? This week, an ophthalmologist needed glasses to see that he was an asshole. Ah, you know, I like full beers from breweries, comrade, but but you gave me a full beer from a brewery here.
I like beers, and I cannot lie.
What are you guys drinking?
I opened up your 16-ounce that you left here, this pint glass worth of beer. It is a Bed of Nails Brown Ale brewed by. It's 5.5%. Is there a brewery?
Malty and Smooth.
Malty and Smooth. I don't see a name of a brewery. Oh, by High Wire Brewing. There you go.
There you go.
Which comrade left here last week, and all the beers that you left here last week are still in the fridge except for this one. So
they're there for the show.
They're there for the show, and that's the point. There's a lot of weed beverages in the refrigerator right now because the peanut gallery is more of a weed person. You know that.
Sure.
If you did not know, come November, a federal law will remove all THC beverages from everywhere.
Yep.
There are petitions out there for you to sign if you are a person who would like the weed beverages to continue. But they are all by congressional order. One of the few things they got done this year. Today. It's all one day.
Wasn't that a Mitch McConnell thing?
So I don't know what it was. I think it was. Yeah.
So just to be clear, there was a law passed, a farm bill, that allowed you to use hemp product.
Right.
And those hemp products could have Delta-8 THC in them to a certain degree, but also they understood that you couldn't get Delta-8 without regular Delta-9, which is what everybody is
THC.
Talking about.
Yeah.
And so they said it's got to have a volume of, 0.1%.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't really specify whether that was by weight or by volume. Yeah. So if you've got a 12-ounce can and you need 0.1%, that's 1.2 ounces of THC you can have in your can.
Yeah.
So people, that's where these beverages, it's not 0.1, it's like 0.01. But you get the idea. You could have a large amount of THC Delta 9 in your beverage. That they've clarified that law to say that it can be 0.01% or something like that of the Delta 8 THC in your beverage can be Delta 9.
So and so there's big signs up in the major retailers. You know, we were in a Total Wine, which is across the country, and we walked in and there was this sign. The Peanut and I were out having dinner with her folks. We walk in and she's like, oh my God, why is it? Cause I needed some things for the show. We now have every type of spritz you can do, Campari, Saint Germain, Aperol, a vermouth spritz. Yeah. We have all the spritzes. We can do those now. But the thing was, is that, she walks in the door and she goes, when did this happen? I'm like, oh, that was passed a while back. And she goes, what? And I'm like, that's why I brought you out. I wanted to make sure you got enough of your beverages in the fridge. But that's not the only thing. On every end cap of this warehouse size liquor store, every end cap is a THC beverage because they can't sell them come November.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
so there are not only, and I'm sure there's a backlog of the number of THC beverages, because they had whole rows of these things. And there's like liquor bottle, like 750s, where a shot of this, like a 50 milliliter shot, contains as much as like a weed pen.
Oh, wow.
The whole weed pen?
Yes. Like a one, like a 1 gram weed pen.
It's the whole volume versus weight thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And she, and we did the calculation. He goes, there's no way that's there. And when we were checking out, a woman behind us had two bottles, one of citrus, one of berry brand.
Hell yeah.
And she goes, because she saw that we had a bunch of these beverages that was being bought by Peanut. And they go, oh yeah, you know, I would drink those, but that's a lot. That's like if you're sitting with your friends, you know, at the beach or for an afternoon. Mm-hmm. But if I want to go to sleep, I need this. And she pulls out the bottle. And Peanut goes, yeah, I've heard that, and I don't know if I want that in my house.
That's a bit much, but,
Well, for a non-weed person, it sounds like a good thing to have a couple of bottles of just in case you've got friends over.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like if you have, I don't know, insomnia or trouble sleeping, a 30 milliliter shot would do the trick.
Or just a little bit diluted in like whiskey would be great.
Like a soda or totally.
And to tell you really, you know, honestly, you know, THC has no, it doesn't do anything for me, unfortunately.
Sure.
I don't have the receptors, but the bottles are the cost of a mid-tier bourbon.
Oh yeah, they're not cheap.
Yeah. So, but you're getting
a hell of a lot.
You know, one shot per. So you're talking like 50 milliliters. You're talking about 750. So you're getting plenty of shots out of that. Yeah.
Plenty.
Comrade, what are you drinking?
Yeah. What are you drinking? That's the next thing.
I have.
This is a very nice brown ale, by the way.
Good. I'm glad you like it. I like it as well. I have an entire 15 variety pack also from North Carolina. Because, you know, so this is the Breckenridge. Ridge Runner West Coast style IPA.
Oh yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, West Coast IPAs are good.
So I am drinking a Deschutes, which I think is from Wisconsin.
No, it's not. It is from Deschutes is from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, that's right. Ooh, nice. It's Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, I know because I've been to the Deschutes.
You can say that. I've heard this both ways. It's either Black Butte or Black Butt.
Yeah,
Black Butte. Porter, but this is the not NA version, so we'll see if it's as good. I'm also drinking a Manhattan.
Yeah, finishing is Manhattan.
They balance out.
Yeah, balance
I also
out.
I also have a gin drink. So.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. What is your gin drink, sir? It looks like a pink gin.
Yeah. Well, so we went to the store and we're just wandering around and I found little mixers like for my soda machine, and next to the soda machine mixers was a grapefruit elderflower syrup.
Yeah.
And it's grapefruit elderflower syrup. I'm like, okay, I'm in. So it has a little ingredients thing on the side. It says this much liquor, this much of the syrup, and this much soda, which is what this is.
Yeah.
I eyeballed this one, so the ratio is a little off, but it's nice. I wouldn't say it's great, but it's nice.
Nice. I will say I just had a sample of the Black Butte from Deschutes, the non-alcoholic.
Does it have the E on the end?
B-U-T-T-E. Yeah,
B-U-T-T-E. Black Butte. Yeah, so it might be Black Beauty.
No, it's Black
Buddy.
Butte. I've been to the Deschutes brewery and their two brew pubs in Portland. And I guarantee you it's Black Butte. All right. So, that tastes exactly like Black Butte. Nice. Just there's no, it's got that wonderful caramely bitterness and whatever. Yep. It tastes just like eating on that big old Black Butt.
Yep. Flavor wise, it's spot on. It's got that slightly different mouthfeel that any beers have, but you wouldn't notice it if you weren't looking for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. If somebody didn't tell you, you'd be like, oh, this is nice. And you'd have 15 of them and drive home.
Yeah. Well, we got six. So, yeah,
you drink a six pack and you're like, why am I not hammered?
Yeah. I can handle my booze.
Something's wrong with this beer.
I just shotgunned four of these. I don't understand why I'm not drunk yet.
No, you're just an alpha male that can handle your alcohol.
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. And you're ball maxing.
Yeah, ball maxing.
Yeah.
Pardon me. The technical term
is Capri maxing?
Is tactical maxing? Is testicle max?
Tactical maxing. Yeah.
Testicle maxing. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. But good old ball maxing. Oh, man. So this week we had a couple of things that really made me want to throw things through my 65-inch television. You know, must be nice.
Oh, don't take it out on the TV.
But, you know.
Hey, size doesn't matter.
Well, that's not what I've heard. But the concept, you know, it's girth that is really important.
Yeah. It's not the size. It's the width, right?
All maxing has two X's. I hate to tell you.
It's a volumetric consideration, okay?
Yeah. You know, hey.
Because you can be 65 inches, but really skinny.
Yeah, yeah. That's what my TV is. It's 65 inches, but very small.
Just fold it over seven times. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Mm. But one of the things that really bothered me is that they pulled esteemed virologist Anthony Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
Former head of the CDC, former researcher for AIDS when it wasn't popular, guy who stopped us from having Ebola in the country, man who
Medal of Freedom recipient,
I just want
to correct you. He was not head of the CDC. He was head of the CDC's infectious diseases
section.
It's the NIAID.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But still, Bush gave him the Medal of Freedom.
Yes.
Come on.
This man, during all administrations prior to Donald John Trump, was a fantastic and wonderful man. And one accidental giggle when Donald Trump was saying, well, maybe they could sun their taints.
They could stick bleach up their asshole.
Yeah, inject bleach or shine a very strong light on people. Jamie or whoever it was, he points at this woman and says, we're looking into that, right? And you look at Dr. Fauci, and Dr. Fauci's like, what is wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
And he's laughing. That one laugh in 2019.
Mm.
What?
I don't think that's the reason.
It is, 100%. He challenged Donald Trump.
It's the reason Trump hates him.
Yeah, it's the reason Trump hates him.
It's not the reason for the hearing.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But it is, again, if Donald Trump hates you, you're being pulled in front of Congress.
You're being pulled in front of his lackeys who have no dicks.
Yeah. And when you listen to the Republicans on the panel,
they're testicle minning.
Yeah, they are minning. They're absolutely minning with two ends.
Can I protest this terrible usage of stupid 4chan language?
No.
Okay.
You used
participate.
No, you used what was it? Gooning. What was the one? Grimmeling. What were those guys during the I got shot in the neck time? The guys who were there begins with a G.
So I typed testicle mining and it came up testicle mining.
Yeah, two ends.
Perfect.
What were they called? They were gimbals. What were they called? The 4chan guys.
The goners or the
goomers.
No, they're not. Gooners are just people who watch porn and jerk off all the time.
Okay.
Groypers.
Those guys.
Yeah. But that's not that wasn't me memeing on the language. That's what they actually call themselves.
That's what they call themselves, yeah.
Well, but testicle maxing is actual language now. Unfortunately, it's actual language now.
But testicle minning is not.
But testicle minning isn't, yeah. But yeah, you can protest. We're just going to ignore
you. Nor is testicle mining.
Yeah. And
optimizing the fun out of life.
Take a pickaxe to those things instead of a hammer.
But having a man who literally created the idea of PrEP, the guy who actually stopped an Ebola outbreak. Yes. Wow. He was the man who was responsible for PrEP, basically. He was the man who was responsible for not having Ebola spread throughout the United States. He was the man who was responsible for stopping SARS, the original SARS, not COVID-19, but stopping SARS from spreading. And he then pointed out to the president of the United States, hey, man, we need to take this seriously. And Donald John Trump, instead of listening to him, killed a million people.
Along with Ron DeSantis.
Along with Ron DeSantis, yeah. Well, Ron DeSantis had a separate million people he killed.
Yeah.
But so we have to say very clearly that this man walking into this very, very oppositional meeting with the senatorial or congressional panel.
With the Senate cuck chair recipients.
Yeah. I mean, terrible people. Horrible, terrible people sitting in there. And then immediately when they start asking him something, he goes, look, I'm going to explain why I am going to plead the fifth. And then he has a nice long explanation of why he pleaded the fifth, which, by the way, if you watch the explanation, they speed it up online because it is a long explanation of why he is taking the fifth, not to incriminate himself. And the entirety of that is that no matter what he says, it doesn't matter. They're going to make it something illegal.
Right. They're going to find sound bites.
They're going to take a sound bite and they're going to do what they do. So I am not going to speak to you. And my favorite one was when Rand Paul, who took the personal diary of Dr. Fauci and released it publicly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a record that was to the president, but still, it is a document that was not supposed to be released publicly, releases 100 pages of it publicly, criticizing Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. That's what the 100 pages were. Mm-hmm. Criticizing his handling of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Very accurately criticizing his work. And then turning that around and saying, well, now he won't answer any questions, so obviously we're right.
You know, it's funny. I've been hearing a lot of Republicans complaining that Fauci took the fifth 100 times in front of Congress.
It's only a quarter of the number of times that Trump did.
440.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. Let's not exaggerate that quarter.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah.
That's 22.5%.
But even, like, again, these are the same people who, you know, when subpoenaed to Congress, these Republicans who were complaining about Fauci, when subpoenaed to Congress, ignored the subpoenas.
In the
first Trump term, just blatantly ignored them. They criticized Fauci for, and again, it's not like you said, it's not like he did it apropos of nothing. He very much explained why and then stood by it because his lawyer's like, look, man, the only way they can get you on anything is perjury.
And the
best way to avoid perjury playing these gotcha games is to just not answer the questions because there's no reason to answer these questions. It's a dog and pony show.
The whole thing is they are saying this one guy who was in ahead of a division of infectious disease.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is the reason why we had the problem with COVID.
Right.
Now, he doesn't have any authority over making policy. He cannot say we're shutting down the government. He doesn't have that authority.
The CDC is an advisory board.
No, hang on. The Republic. Okay, so to be clear, Fauci told the government the best way to make sure less people die for COVID is to do these things.
Right.
Social distancing, staying home, wearing masks, all these things.
Yeah.
That's best plan of action until we have a vaccine. That was what he said.
Yep.
And we all understand this. So the Republicans are claiming that because he said that we had a worse COVID time.
That's
their argument.
They're basically saying he was a conspiracy, that he broke the law in the things he said, that he was not being honest, that he didn't use his judgment, and that they should have done something different.
Yeah.
And they're trying to blame all of COVID on him because the current president is fragile baby boy narcissist who can't take criticism and feels that he's responsible for this, so he's got to blame somebody else.
Yeah. I don't think he feels
responsible. It's all about
feels. No, I don't think he feels responsible for anything.
So it's a narcissistic thing.
Yeah.
He feels responsible. He will never admit that he's responsible.
No, I don't. Again, I think that you are attributing something that a narcissist will never have. A narcissist will never admit that they did something.
You're exactly right. He will never admit it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he doesn't feel it.
No, this has to do with whether or not COVID came from that Wuhan Institute.
Right, under his control.
They're claiming that while he was in office, he knew that that's where it came from, and he hid that fact.
No.
That's what this is.
Nobody knew that.
It has nothing to do with his response to COVID. It has everything to do with the fact that the conspiracy, just like the voting thing, it's the conspiracy.
Oh, we'll get to the voting thing. Don't worry.
Right. Yeah. It's the Republicans pursuing conspiracy theory vibes, not facts or evidence vibes, that Fauci somehow helped contribute to the spread by hiding the origins of the virus.
Right.
Which is bonkers.
This is bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where it started. Right.
Yep.
The thing is once it got out, wherever it went from, whether it was from monkeys or a lab, once it was out, you needed to take action.
You want to hear something really funny? Because I was reading about this about an hour ago. The reason why the Republicans are so laser focused on this Wuhan Virology Institute is because they were the first ones to report COVID-19.
Right.
Right.
Right. Now, what does that sound familiar like? What does that remind me of right now? Taco Bell and the Cyclospora.
Right.
Taco Bell said, hey, guys, there's a problem. So what do the Republicans do? They go, oh, you brought up the problem. You must have started it.
Correct.
Can I remind you of
this? You smelt it. You dealt it.
Can I remind you of this? The Spanish flu.
Yep.
Which was really
1918?
Yeah. Okay. You know why we call it the Spanish flu?
We call it the Spanish flu because they were the first ones to report it.
They were the only ones to report it. Everybody else was hiding it, even though it was rampant.
If I recall correctly,
It was an American swine flu.
Yeah. So it's a typical modern Republican game to point fingers at the whistleblower and for some reason blame the whistleblower for them going, hey guys, there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the Fauci thing obviously is horrible. First off, here's a fun fact. Anthony Fauci is 85.
Yep.
And if you compared him to Donald Trump side by side, you would not be able to tell. You would think that Fauci is 10 years younger than Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done to him for that. But like this poor man who's devoted his entire life to the well-being of an entire nation, never mind the world.
Yeah.
Is getting drugged through the ringer because he is kind of in the middle of a conspiracy theory that has nothing to do with him.
Yep.
It's Kafka-esque.
And by people who know better. The people doing this
don't
believe it. They're just doing it because they're afraid, because they're testicle-minning, and they're afraid of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a fear of Trump thing. I think this is Rand Paul trying to prove that he's still useful to Trump. Which may be a
same thing. None of them should give a shit about what the president says because he's lost all his power except for his voice and the crazy people who believe the shit he says. Mm-hmm. Right? The everybody else should know that he's a lame duck, he's impotent, he's crazy, he's weak, and just say, F you. No, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Not to divert too far from this conversation, but I was talking to – I mentioned this a little bit last week with the Revolutionary, and I mentioned it with the thespian the other day. The people on the right who we rightly lambast for being idiots who failed the most open book test of all time are starting to understand how bad things are here for us because of the Republicans. Yeah. This doesn't mean they're going to change who they vote for, but it does mean they might not vote. But it's wild to hear my ignorant right-wing conservative – co-workers bring up things like the co-defense bill, right? My right-wing co-worker said that's treason. I said, oh shit.
Yeah.
The
co-defense bill?
Co-defense with Israel.
We're like giving Israel access to the CIA and the NSA.
Right.
But on top of that, my boss, my 50-something redneck grew up in the sticks of Florida boss said, man, I was watching a YouTube video about China the other day. They're way ahead of us.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's what happens for 10 years they invest in transportation. Their new high speed rail station is incredible.
They built so the thing about
for $1 trillion in 10 years, they built high speed rail throughout their entire country.
Not just China. They built it in Africa, too.
Well, but the one is for their own people. Mm-hmm. They built for $1 trillion in 10 years. They built
nationwide
high-speed rail. Yeah. And by the way, we had a plan that was executive ordered out of existence by our president. So,
the master station they built for that high-speed rail thing is insane, and they built the station itself in less than 3 years. Like, could you imagine if the U.S. could even bother to try to pull off something like that?
Well, we could do it. We honestly we can do it, but the problem is that it will be owned by 20 different companies, and it'll cost you just to walk in the building.
They'll give it to Musk and his boring company, and it'll never happen.
So all of that said, like, thinking about the reason why we have such a problem with major public works like that is, as you said, it's all gets contracted out to private companies, blah, blah, blah.
And owned by them.
Well, it's in the best interest of these private companies to take as long as possible to build these things to get paid more.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when the government of China says, hey, everyone's guaranteed money for this job.
Yeah.
But the job will only pay you this much money.
Yeah.
Here's the plans. Get to work.
Yeah.
There's no reason to delay and make it take longer and all this stuff.
Or it's a different mindset, if you do too. It like Sweden does, and you've got like construction crews that the government pays for that
whether they're working or not.
No, well, they're constantly working.
Well,
you're paying for these guys, right? So they're not paid. They don't make any extra money if it takes longer. They've got a job to do, and they're graded on how they do the job, and then they go on to the next one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So things get done at a reasonable price, at a known cost, at a known fixture, and then you're not doing 20 things at once, but you're doing one thing cheaply and well.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Efficiently and well.
Yeah.
We're a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Across the globe.
Yeah. Right. Welcome to late stage capitalism and neoliberalism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, the Fauci thing.
I had something about that process that was going on. When you have when the idea is like people like Josh Hawley.
Yeah.
Josh Hawley got up and went, "Hey, bro, you know, Dr. Fauci, blah 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 blah. You knew this, you knew that," and a few other Republicans. And I'm like, Josh, you wouldn't testify in front of the 9/11 commission, and none of you who were in Congress on the Republican, you refused to even step foot in that commission. Mm-hmm. But yet, here's a man who, when he was asked to come to Congress and represent himself, he showed up. So maybe don't call him a coward. Don't call him anything else. Maybe turn the mirror on yourself.
Yeah, of course they can.
And
wasn't Hawley the one to bring up contempt against Congress charges?
Yes.
Yeah. It's not contempt against Congress if you take the fifth.
Oh, well, no, he tried to say that because Biden pardoned him for anything that happened there, that he could not claim the fifth because you've already taken a deal for your guilt. So therefore, you cannot claim the fifth. The answer to that is, here's a giant middle finger. That's not what it means. These are new charges that have nothing to do with... And Biden did that to make sure that this wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Biden got a lot of heat for like pardoning his family and pardoning other people at the end of his presidency.
Yeah.
But that's why we criticized the people criticizing Biden when he did it, because we understood that what happened to Fauci is exactly what was going to happen. The Trump crowd was going to try to grind their political axes whatever way they could to get points with Trump himself by going after these people that he hates.
My addled brain from an old fashioned Manhattan before dinner.
Did it catch up?
I finally remembered what I wanted to say. You were talking about like the redneck people that are in your world.
Yes.
So you know, I have plenty of redneck people in my world.
Certainly.
Plenty of people who were fabricators and develop and people who work with their hands every day. And I got rid of a lot of them during COVID, really, because they were coming out as COVID deniers, even though their friends were dying because of COVID. Yep. They literally died in the hospital with COVID. Oh, no, COVID didn't kill them. I'm like, you have a problem and I can't deal with you because you won't deal with reality. Right. I said, I'm very upset that we lost that friend whose birthday, actually one of our friends who died of COVID, his birthday was last week. And people double A, and people were like, you know, oh, you know, we really miss you or whatever. And all I wanted to do was say, this was preventable if you people would have listened to Dr. Fauci, but I didn't because I'm not that guy. But a friend of mine, one of those old friends who never posts anything, this week posted up, this is the final straw. And they were talking about Mike Johnson, and it was a copy paste because they're not as they don't have the ability to be as eloquent as this post was. And it literally said, you know, Mike Johnson is doing this bullshit, blah blah blah, and then the copy paste. And it was Mike Johnson saying that they're going to be going after Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security in the next session of Congress. That's their goal. Why would you say that, you dumbass, when we have a midterm election coming up? So therefore,
Trump bumped up pricing.
Yeah,
for
Medicare D.
He removed the subsidies that Biden put in place to control Medicare the D. costs of drugs for Medicare D.
Yeah,
like are they? The only way they would be – the only reason in my mind that Trump believes he could get away with this is because he thinks he can just buy the midterms.
Well.
Right.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Or that people aren't going to show up and not vote. No, no, he is, I guarantee you, he is sitting in a room full of people that are going, right. Yes, boss, go golden gild that bronze statue.
Right.
For $43 right. million, dollars. The three or four bronze statues that you're going to be gilding, which they've done one at $13.8 million. And it's like, yeah, you should do that right now. That's a great idea.
Great,
you know, Marco Rubio sitting in a room with Bibi Netanyahu, you know, looking yeah. like he's taking orders. All of these people yeah. who are not working for the American people, any of them.
Right. Nope. Right. No.
And so when you have that, and this guy finally posts this big thing, and I wrote back, this was the last straw. They told you they were going to do this uh-huh. in Project 2025. Uh-huh. This was their goal. Well, and by the way, I am the only comment on that post. It's got 50 likes from his friends. Mm-hmm. And he has not responded, nor has anyone else actually written a response to it, because they know the minute they do, it's going to be. And I literally said, I'm not going to say I told you so. That's mm-hmm. not what I'm going to do. I'm right. going to say vote for people that are going to do things for you, not for the billionaire class and corporations.
Don't vote for people you are afraid of.
Yeah.
Vote for yeah. people who are going to work for you.
Yeah.
Vote for people who are afraid of us, the people.
Yeah. Vote, yeah, vote for people who are afraid right. of you.
Yeah, there you yeah. Go. Vote for people who are afraid of me.
If you're a Republican, you should be voting for people who are afraid of you.
Yeah.
As registered
instead of the other way around.
And independents, we should be voting for people who actually represent our values.
Correct.
There's a very different philosophy there. But I think the worst thing about what's happening is everyone left of center is going to look at these the right wing who are coming awake and realizing just how bad everything is because of them.
Welcome, brother.
And right. And yeah. we're all going to be like, we bloody told you and we've been screaming at you. And that unfortunately will be just as effective as it was when we told them screaming from the top of our lungs about Project 2025 yeah. 2 years ago.
It has 950 yeah. pages. Oh, yeah, that's well, right. You guys don't read.
The
no,
right.
It's not that. It's that all the coverage about Project 2025 was from the left.
Yeah.
Right? The Republicans did not talk about it. Fox News did not talk about it. They played it off like it was a nothing burger.
Yeah.
And here we are with 60% of it accomplished.
Yeah. yeah.
So the latest polls show that Trump's support has dropped about 2%.
Yeah.
So he's reached his floor and he's dropped below it, which is yeah. the surprising part. It's not like 20% of the people have woken up, right? Some small fraction of hardcore Kool-Aid drinking devotees
yeah.
have decided that maybe this was not good.
Yeah. My takeaway is the people he's losing are they're not MAGA so much as they're hardcore Republicans.
Yeah. Well, they're conservatives. They're true right, conservatives. Right, right. Yeah.
They're the never Democrat kind of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who were all about marching to the Fox News drum, and now they're reaping the rewards and they're going, damn, none of this is work. I don't think they have the introspective powers to understand.
Oh, no, no, no. That's the narcissism problem.
That's sort of where I was going with. There's, yeah. there's yeah. still the 32%, 33% who yeah. are just yeah. blind to what's happening to them.
Yep.
Or like where this is going. Yeah, we need mm-hmm. to be partners with Israel, or we need mm-hmm. to throw away America as we know it
just yeah.
because, you know, I'm afraid of brown people, or whatever their reason. I'm not going to be able to get Whoa. There. Because I can't get there.
Well, right? Marco Rubio is ready to invade Spain. I'm sorry, invade Morocco. Invade Morocco. Because, of course, we can't invade Spain because that's NATO. But he's ready to – he's posting things about invading Morocco to stem the flow of immigrants into Europe.
Into Spain.
Well, into Europe to try and – into Europe in order to try and ingratiate so that maybe they'll help us with this yeah. unjust Spain attack
is,
on
Spain is
Iran.
Not in the cuck chair.
No.
They spent some time there a yeah. while ago and they don't want to go back.
Nope.
They're not down with this.
No. And no one expects a Spanish Inquisition.
No one does.
But yeah. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
yeah, that was the comfy chair, not the cuck chair, but that would have been hilarious.
Spanish comfy cuck chair. I'm just yeah. gonna put comfy cuck chair.
Mm. Mm.
But yeah, so no one expects the Spanish Inquisition. But no, he's ready to go to bat for, you know, to go and invade Morocco because 60,000 people decided to appear in Spain this week.
Yeah.
I saw a headline about it. I didn't read the story.
People are going through Morocco because there's so many things going on in the Middle East and in Africa, you know, the colonial areas. Right. And there is a number that are allowed in through Spain over that very, very shallow crossing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so 60,000 people just made that crossing.
So that's the part I didn't understand. These are not Moroccans.
No. They're everybody. It's all kinds of refugees,
to Morocco and decided to get to Spain because that was closest.
It's dark. It's people whose skin is darker than a paper bag. They fail the paper bag test. And so, therefore, they're bad people, according to Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they are people who have legitimate claim to get out of the situation they're in.
Yeah. Right.
But it's making a huge problem for Spain.
Of course.
And Spain is like, look, we're closing the border at this point. Mm-hmm. Please do not come anymore. We have to deal with these 60,000 people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're not like we're going to shoot them all, which is what we would do.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to process them all.
Literally
install razor wire drum barrels.
That's what I was going to say. That's what we would do. We'd install razor wire underwater and people
on limpet mines. Yeah.
Did you hear that those barrels in Texas that they put along the river and the border, right? Yeah. There was flooding.
Yeah.
And those barrels got dragged into a local town
and
tore the town to pieces.
Oh yeah. Those are illegal, right?
On which side of the border?
Huh?
On which side of the border?
I'm sure they don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just saying, I'm sure the Texans are like, well, if it's a Mexican town, that's their fault.
I want to point this out.
Yeah.
Canadian, I want to point this out. There really isn't a border between Texas and Mexico. You know, it used to all just be Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
By the way, have you seen the map? My favorite map, and we're not going to talk about the Africa map until later.
Damn it.
But my favorite map is the one that says, if we got rid of all of the illegals out of America, and it's nothing but the seven nations.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. The native population.
The actual Choctaw here
and Mohican here and these here. Yeah.
Back in 2015,
I have a sign that says
bought a T-shirt that said "Fighting illegal immigration since 1492."
Yeah.
I have that shirt. I bought that shirt in Wyoming.
I have a poster from my dad in a thing that says, you know, was it civil defense or something?
Native Americans. It's a picture of a bunch of indigenous people holding rifles.
So, the point is that was 10 years ago. We were this illegals thing.
Yeah.
It's not new. And in fact,
I got that shirt when I was 12, dude.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. In fact, back in the 80s, I think, there was Mad TV. I sent a thing around, I think, where they did a whole country, you know, they used to have Ronco albums where they'd play music and stuff. They did a whole spoof on that, and one of them was about illegals coming across the border, having their babies here.
Hey, the only IDF I support is the Indigenous Defense League.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only one I count on.
IDL, yeah.
Yeah, the IDL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The IDF is the Indigenous Defense Force, and they're adamantly opposed to each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Splitters.
One is somehow problematic. We don't know which one.
Yeah. But my frustration with all of this stuff that's currently going on is that here we are coming up in the midterms. The midterms are coming. You can't stop them. They're going to be here. It is a legitimate thing of democracy, and I would love the UN to come in and monitor our elections. That's, you know, that's my favorite. They should come in and do that because we are leaning so far into losing our ability to have democratically held elections because the president this week has disbanded the group that monitors elections.
Of course. Oh, was it? I thought it was last week.
It was last week. Well, I mean,
yeah.
We never see each other. So
it's a week ago, seven days ago. Forever.
Recently. Yeah, it's fucking forever. That's all I'll say right now. I'll take the strike on that one. This is all forever. But the point is that, you know, he disbanded those people. And then this week, the Supreme Court goes, you know, we agree. You're right. You know, if the post office doesn't have time to deliver the mail-in ballots. That's cool. You know, that's okay. We don't, you know, thanks for putting this new, this back in front of us so we could rule on it, even though it had already been ruled on by them themselves. And they said that it was illegal to interfere with elections that way. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now it's like, well, but if we don't have the funding for the post office to make this happen, then whatever. Unless so don't use mail-in ballots unless you are in the military at this point.
Yeah.
Or mail it. Make sure you mail it like a month in advance to make sure that it gets there. And make sure that you check 2 weeks in advance to see if it was actually recorded as being received. If it wasn't, and you have the ability, show up to your polling place.
Right. So I was going to say, like, The one thing I think we don't talk enough about is that the Postmaster General was a Trump 1.0 appointee who somehow survived Biden.
Because Biden was too – here's the reason why. Biden did not want to take someone who'd only been in for like a year and a half or 2 years and change him out because he was not really making any policy at that point.
Biden did not take what the Supreme Court gave him. So here's the thing. If he had fired the dude, it would have gone to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court would say, no, you can't fire this dude.
Right.
We wouldn't be in this problem where Trump can now fire everybody because there would have been precedent that you can't fire that dude.
Yeah.
Well, the Supreme Court has demonstrated that they're more than happy to overturn their own precedent.
That's true. Yeah. But usually they wait more than a year.
Yeah.
But Joe Biden's trust in the system is going to be his greatest.
It's his legacy.
It's just with Trump's Postmaster General, the one thing he's done his absolute best to do is to make sure that the post office does not operate well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's not that he doesn't really have control over funding, but he has control over where the funds go, how they get distributed, when they get distributed,
what machines they use.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also has like internal policy rules. So like he can deprioritize things like ballots.
Yeah.
And these are all things we have no say over, and there's no oversight on this guy and what he does.
But remember, that's only for federal elections.
I know.
So if you have a federal election where you're making a federal choice. Uh-huh. Okay. So Congress, Senate, President, okay, those are the things we vote for as citizens, and those are the things that you have to worry about having this problem. States, no problem.
Well, but if the
states, no problem. We have in the state of Florida, we have probably the most Trumpian, MAGA-in, I don't even, fascist,
neo-tech.
No, yeah,
neocon.
Yeah, neocon. The fascist party of America.
Yeah.
They're the most in line. We also have the SAVE Act, which already someone has gone to vote, and they're like, "Oh, you can't vote," and they're like, "What do you mean? You don't have the right documentation," and they're like, "You're insane."
Yeah.
Okay, we're just going to take this to court because I need to vote. Here's my voter registration card. I didn't change my registration. Here's my driver's license. You can go and pound sand, right?
Yeah.
But we are that test case. We are the big one. We're the one that has, because Ron DeSantis wants to run for president in 2028. He has done absolutely he's going to fail miserably. He's not even going to make it past like the primaries at all. Oh, he's not going to even make it to the conference. The Republican National Convention.
In stripper heels to be tall enough.
Oh God. Yeah. But it's
no. He's a joke, and everybody knows he's a joke. It's the same thing with Marco Rubio. Rubio is not going to win.
No, Marco. Marco. No.
They are both black holes of personality.
Yeah.
But anytime, and it's so bad. Anytime someone questions, I saw one of those press conferences with the Secretary of State talking about the Iran war, and he's like, like he looked like a deer in the headlights every single question. Mm-hmm. Buddy, that doesn't show that you have any semblance of strength or leadership.
I do wonder if somebody like Rubio waffles like that very specifically because he's trying to like,
well, he's a cuck and he's Trump.
No, like he's trying to tightrope walk between the guy who gave him his job and what he wants to do in the future.
Oh, 100%, 100%. No, not at all. I disagree.
No,
I don't think he's walking a tightrope. The only thing that is in that that equation is making sure that Trump likes him.
No, that's my point. My point is
there's no tightrope.
No, he's trying to play the game between understanding that Trump will die soon and his movement will die with him.
Yeah.
So he's got to operate towards the future, which is to say towards a kind of pro-Republican, we're moving forward vision.
Yeah.
While also appeasing the shitter in chief.
Have you watched anything that he has had to say?
What, Rubio?
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He hits Republican talking points first, and then he plays it back towards Trump like it was Trump's idea.
Yeah.
That's usually his MO.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. I think he's trying to walk that line where he's not – he's trying to not look like a Hawley. He's trying to look like an independent person who's on Trump's team, right? And I'm not saying that that's what it is. Just saying that's what he's trying to look like.
Yeah,
he believes that Secretary of State means he's got a shoe in to the nomination.
One bit.
It worked for Hillary Clinton.
So here's what would have to happen for him to become president.
Everyone else dies.
Yeah, literally, it would be Trump drops dead. J.D. Vance trips over Trump's dead body and hits his head on the Resolute desk.
No. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
His wife is going to kill him in postpartum depression.
Yeah, there you go. And then Mike Johnson running to the Oval Office to save J.D. Vance, trips and falls over Mitch McConnell's hospital bed. And dies.
Then
Marco Rubio would then become president.
Chuck Grassley has to die of old age.
Well, Chuck Grassley is 90 years old. Yeah. So Chuck Grassley hears he's president. He goes, and dies.
And then Marco Rubio becomes
president. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
we think that Marco Rubio survives the Secretary of Treasury in this particular scenario?
Oh, yeah. No, because Bessent's not a murderer.
You don't think so?
No. Not in cold blood.
Bessent is making way too much money off of tariffs,
and he's just going to keep doing that. It's like I don't need to be in charge.
He's a legitimate billionaire. He doesn't need the presidency. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I bought my way into this.
But I think Mike Johnson will surprise us. And that he will trip over his own dick
as
he runs. And that's why.
He'll trip over his son's dick.
Yeah, it's something like
that. Yeah.
He'll be watching porn on his phone and running.
He'll be looking at Instagram models on his phone, which will then alert his son while he. And then he'll trip over his own erect penis.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I was just wondering about Mike Johnson's future, right? Because he accidentally became Speaker of the House.
Reason he became Speaker Louisiana. Of the House, Louisiana.
No, he's nobody being, else wanted him.
He's being challenged in his own district
every day.
Oh, yeah. He gets
challenged by life.
Yeah, yeah.
Tough questions like where do I park?
How many? How many daily notifications do you think he gets from his son's spying on porn app?
None.
His son telling him, "Hey, I see you."
None.
Oh,
not one. You think that his app is actually connected any longer?
He's got a burner phone.
He uses his Congress phone for the porn.
Come on. Now that Lindsey Graham is gone, Grindr has to make up for the traffic somewhere.
If you use your burner phone for porn, is that a porner phone?
It's a gooner phone. No, hang on.
That's a gooner phone.
is that the T1?
The T1. By the way, have you noticed that nothing has been said after that hit the news?
Uh-huh.
No more has been said about the fact that Trump ripped off to the tune of what, $500 million?
Yeah.
All of those people.
Well, it's a real phone.
It's not a Trump phone. It's a T-Mobile phone of some type.
It's a Huawei.
Huawei.
No.
So how much does it actually cost?
It's HTC.
People put $100 down to get it.
Yeah.
But it didn't cost $100.
No.
It's $500.
$500. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, it's real. The phone is real. The plan is real.
But the plan is just.
It's basically like a Metro PCS.
Yes.
Yeah.
Being on T-Mobile, whatever.
Yeah, it's Mint Mobile.
It's a lightly reskinned Android operating system on HTC from China.
Yes.
It's the whole thing
painted gold.
Yeah, and it's just gold plastic.
Yeah.
Just like everything else in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
The reason why that's funny is it was supposed to be made in America.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
That
yeah.
was the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, I want to kind of give a good comparison example as to why no phones are made in America. There's a YouTube
Chips and Jobs Act?
Well, there's a YouTube channel called Smarter Every Day, which is a pretty fun channel. I'm not
a big fan.
The host gives me
yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'm not a big fan of him, but he does cool content, and he wanted to do a Made in America grill scrubber as an experiment. Okay, now your average grill scrubber is like $15 to $20. His being made in America costs $75. Okay. It's ridiculously expensive because it has to be because it's made in America.
Yeah.
The reason we know the Trump phone is not made in America is because it doesn't cost $2,500.
Right, right. Well, and even right now, this week, Apple announced that they now have a new leasing program for not only their hardware, but also their phones.
Yeah.
And so you won't even own your – and by the way – You put forward a lease payment and then you're up to date forever, you know, just like everybody else in the market.
Volvo you know. Did that for a minute.
Volvo actually. Did it. Yeah. Well, no, not only Volvo, it was T-Mobile, Verizon, and others put forward a lease your phone model.
Yeah.
And you're basically always paying, and it's a subscription service for your device.
You get to upgrade your phone every year.
Sure,
or whatever.
And if you break it in the meantime, you buy one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you're on the hook to pay anyway.
Yeah.
No.
So I paid $100 for this Google piece of crap, and I'll hang on to this thing until it explodes.
Oh, yeah. I love my Google Pixel 7.
Yeah. It's so good. It is not a top tier anything. It is the
The Motorola makes a G something or other that's cheap as shit.
Oh yeah, super cheap. Yeah, super cheap. But again, I do love my iOS devices. Mm-hmm. I will never be in that lease loop. My lovely Peanut says, you know, you do realize how privileged you are. I'm like, I do realize how privileged I am. I totally understand.
So that. You say that, but friend of the podcast bought.
Yeah,
the Galaxy Z Fold or whatever the hell that stupid tablet flip.
The terrible phone. I know several people with it. It's terrible.
Do you know how much that thing costs?
$2,800.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like he got it for like a massive discount because of
he got a deal. Go figure that the friend of the podcast would get a deal.
But the point is, he still paid well over $1,000.
Sure.
For an incredibly fragile piece of technology.
Yes.
And I said, buddy, I don't care how cool the phone is. That's too much for a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too much by double for a phone.
Yeah.
You, in my mind, you can justify up to $700 for a cell phone.
Yeah.
Maybe.
If you keep it for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? If you hang on to it for 5 years, you can spend $1,000 on a phone.
Yeah. $200 a year. That's not bad.
But right. But but most cell phones don't last 5 years.
Yeah. Right.
Mine's coming on 3 and it's the battery's already failing.
Well, my last one was actually recalled because of a battery issue. So.
Right, right. Yeah. And when you're on the airplane and they go, do you have a this model phone? And like,
you're
shit.
Not allowed.
You need to check that with the front desk and we will disassemble it for you.
Yeah, we'll mail it for you.
We're going to turn it off so it's not running while in airplane mode because we don't want to blow up and kill us all. Yeah, exactly. Nail gun through the battery. Yeah, we're just going to stick it right here.
Yeah, it's safe now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, this week we've had these discussions with, you know, where the, you know, where here we have Dr. Fauci in the foreground again, mm-hmm. where here we are 6 years after COVID. Why are we talking about it?
Yeah.
Why are we still talking about
why it? Why don't we have the Epstein files?
The Epstein files are still not released. It's 6 years after the 2020 election, and Donald John Trump takes 40 minutes on TV to say elections are not valid while turning around and turning off all the abilities to check and balance the elections.
This is a bit of a step to the side here, but in the same vein.
Pulling the panties to the side. Go ahead.
Yeah. In the same vein, why is it that – because I saw an interesting Instagram reel the other day. An Amber Alert goes out.
Yep.
You know, hey, missing kid, blah, blah, blah. Here's the vehicle suspected, yada, yada. So this 20-year-old and his friends are like, all right, we got nothing better to do. Let's go see if we can find him.
Yeah.
driving around town. They find the truck. Call the cops.
Yeah.
The cops like, we'll get there when we get there. They followed the dude for an hour.
Yeah.
Before the cops showed up, and they're calling regularly to get.
Well, remember, updates. Comrade.
Now, in contrast to that, the police in Texas used all the records from all 83,000 flock cameras across the entire country to hunt down a woman suspected of getting an abortion.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's same thing as the Epstein shit, right? Yeah. Like, we can't be bothered to take care of real problems, but we can use all of our resources to ruin a woman's life who is already having a tough time.
Comrade, I just want to ask you a simple question. Mm-hmm. What is the first responsibility of police officers?
Property.
Yeah.
Well,
so looking for a missing child, it has nothing to do with defending property.
Yeah. But a woman is your property.
Yeah.
And it's gone. Yeah.
An unborn fetus is some man's property. So therefore there's that. Also, the other one on flock, and we can talk about flock for hours, but another thing on flock was there were 56. Yeah, exactly. There were 56.
Go flock yourself.
There were 56 requests made of flock in, I'm pretty sure it was also Texas, that had absolutely no license plate number attached to them. So there was one person who said, look, I'm going to do a FOIA request.
Yeah.
And I would like to see all of the requests that were made in this segment of time. It was in a week.
Okay.
That did not contain a license plate number, which is what flock is supposed to be doing.
Okay.
Taking license plates and making sure and just recording license plates. That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a license plate reader.
Okay.
And so they had things like Jeep with camouflage top. That was the search that was being done. A black Mercedes with an American flag decal on the back window. Those were the things that were being asked for. Instead of, we're looking for a suspect with this license plate number or this partial license plate number. Because flock cameras are supposed to be looking and recording license plate numbers. That's their only job, is that's what they're supposed to be recording.
If that's true, then why are they able to support features like gait detection?
Correct, yes, of course,
IT gate.
Yeah.
You walk.
Yes.
They know what your face looks like, and they know how you walk.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
As an aside, if you work outside and you have a job that requires you to cut metal poles, and you need to do it quietly because, like, you're in a residential area and you don't want to disturb the neighbors, wear different shoes.
Yes.
Mismatched shoes.
Yeah.
For safety reasons, you're going to want,
Face covering.
Eyeglass covering and metal shavings. You don't want to breathe those in, so a mask of some
sort. Preferably, you want to block IR to your eyes.
Yes.
Well, if you're working outside, you're going to want a big-brimmed hat as well.
Yes, of course.
You don't want to be too exposed. And for the most part, the quickest and quietest way to cut metal banding outside in the sun is a battery-powered portable bandsaw.
Yes.
They're not super cheap. But damn, aren't they helpful?
Yeah.
And they're very useful for a lot of things around the house and professionally.
Completely unrelated. Flock cameras have about 2 ounces of copper in them and a couple of grams of gold.
There's a couple of grams of gold in them,
Hey, your local data center has shit tons of copper and gold in it.
Yeah.
And silicon.
But that's not sitting on a pole that your bandsaw.
True, but I'm shocked we haven't had Killdozer V2 in a data center yet.
Yeah.
I think that's coming soon.
Yeah.
You can also, by the way, the aluminum pole is worth money too, so just to let you know.
Or steel. Either way, scrap value is good.
Yeah.
I saw a photo, I think from one of the Tennessee data centers, like for a street, just a guy driving to work and took a picture. Has anyone here seen the anime Fooly Cooly? Classic
no.
early 2000s?
No. No. Okay. I'm not. My opinion on the Japanese anime.
I know. Yeah. In the show, there is a factory, and every time the factory kicks on, a bunch of steam gets just poured out over the whole town. This picture of the data center was, oh crap, the grid has had a fluctuation, can't keep up with the power requirements of this data center. And all of the diesel generators kicked on at the same time.
Yeah.
It's a visible cloud of diesel fumes spreading over the town from a quarter mile away. It's awful. It's insane.
So here's the problem. So when our power grid in the United States is built for constant delivery of power. Consistent, level of power. Mm-hmm. So if a house goes out here or if a spike happens there, no big problem.
Right.
But a data center requires so much power.
Just to let you know, the law that they passed in Texas banned data centers that were over 50 megawatts.
Yeah.
And 50 megawatts runs a medium-sized city.
Yeah, runs a city. Yeah.
A city.
Yeah, yeah.
A
city.
So what happens is a data center that's like 50 megawatts goes down. 50 megawatts that was going to a location immediately causes right a surge on the network of tubes of electrical power.
This is not the internet.
No.
It's not the internet.
Well, but it is power distribution. So imagine 50 megawatts with nowhere to go. It surges back on the power station and then immediately triggers a catastrophic failure of the power grid.
Some stations across the grid are failing everywhere. Yeah. I'm reminded of many years ago, Oklahoma was experimenting with wind power, and they had installed a bunch of new wind power.
Oklahoma has the most wind power in the United States.
Yeah, because Oklahoma's flat as hell, and there's nothing better to do with the space. Mm-hmm. And
it's also owned by the Native Americans.
I was going to say, because it was Native American land, and you might as well build on it.
This was before they gave back some of it. But there was so much wind and so much power being generated that they were calling, like the power company was calling and contacting all of its people and saying, hey, turn everything on, please.
Yeah.
We need you to turn every light on, turn every fan on, turn your AC down as low as you're comfortable doing it. Turn everything on because we need to take power out of the grid right now.
Yeah. We have nowhere to store it.
Yeah. There's nowhere for it to go. Yeah. Can't sell it to California or Texas.
Yeah.
So I think one of the most interesting, I feel like we should be going to break soon. But
we will.
It's time.
Yeah. One of the most interesting things to do with green power, because everybody's like, well, what happens when the sun goes down? Okay, cool. Gravity batteries, dude.
Yeah.
Gravity batteries are one of the most efficient uses of storing power there is. There are water gravity batteries. There are just solid, literally blocks of stone.
Well, that's
like how clocks used to work.
Yeah. Literally like how clocks are. And so what you do is at low power demand times when you're still producing energy, you charge your gravity battery by moving things uphill.
Yeah.
Or vertically. And then when you need extra power, you let those things provide extra
power.
Slowly
come down and pull a dynamo. Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's simple. It's deployable in small local towns with minimal impact if you do it right. There's so many clever, cool, basic solutions to providing power with green energy that idiots refuse to consider.
Comrade, you mentioned China earlier.
I did.
China most recently created a solar array that powers 150,000 homes.
Yeah.
And of course, where are we with solar in this country?
Yeah. Good. That's
we're in the plexus. We have solar plexus.
Just because we're on the topic, and you've reminded me of a couple of fun stories. Mexico has one of those like solar mirror arrays, so it's not like solar panels.
Yeah,
like
it boils water.
No, it's a solar generator, is what it is. Yeah,
but what they're doing is they're actually superheating sand.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It's so cool. They're dropping sand through the beam of reflected sunlight, and it's superheating the sand, and that's how they're actually creating energy.
Yeah,
it's crazy cool.
Yeah, you can store, and Sweden, Finland, and Norway are storing a lot of energy in those geothermal batteries.
Oh yeah.
Because what you do is it's superheated sand. You run water through it. It runs a steam turbine.
Yeah. Boom. Done.
Weird.
It's brilliantly simple, and it's it's infinitely reusable, and it's basically free.
But what's the problem? Oh, there you hit on it. You hit on the problem. How do we bill for that?
You can't make a buck off shit.
Can't make a buck off shit that's free.
The answer is you don't. You nationalize it.
You communist.
Where's the America in that?
Yeah.
I don't know. We've got nationalized police, nationalized military.
But
nationalized
the police make a buck off it.
Oh, no. We have socialized police.
They can steal your shit.
Yeah, they can steal your shit. Yeah.
True.
There's drugs in that car. That car's now mine.
Look. If we allow a little bit of corruption in these nationalized organizations, is that okay? Can we call that capitalism?
They're socialized like organizations.
15% corruption.
Yeah.
Oh, that's way more than the socialist country, but it's less than we have now.
Yeah, we have 100% corruption right now.
We got 100% corruption now. Some sort of communist country, it'll only be 10%.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, and even in dictatorial countries, I think we have more corruption in this country than in dictatorial countries.
Yeah, and we have a small dictatorial country here.
Such tiny dictatorial. It's what we call a tiny dictatorial.
A micro-dictatorial.
Micro-dictatorial, right. Yes. On that bombshell, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back after this.
You are listening to One Man Revolution with your host, the Revolutionary.
And
the Comrade.
And
the Canadian.
Hey! And the peanut gallery is asleep in the bedroom. Yeah. She only made it so far because you feed the gremlins and they go to sleep.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, during the break, we had some coffee and, of course, Belgian chocolate.
Some chocolate.
And, you know, it's like we did last week. So here we go.
I pet the dog.
Oh, I didn't tell you. There are no more dogs.
Did you get a dog?
There are no more dogs. What? They left.
Oh, the
they're gone.
They're gone?
They abandoned. They literally backed up a U-Haul truck last weekend, filled the truck up with stuff. There's still stuff in the house. They drug the trash cans to the front yard and put them out. And they have not been back. So there have been no dogs for like a week and a half. And I forgot how quiet it is here. Without the neighbor dogs.
House goes for sale.
I don't know if they're going to sell. I don't. There's one for sale two doors down next to Becky.
Yeah, I know there is. Yeah.
You know, it's been for sale forever. So,
yeah.
I'm sure there's they want reason. Too much. I'm pretty sure it's for too much.
Yeah, that's why.
I'll forever. Let you know. Sir, I will let you know. But it's a long drive. It's a long drive for you to go to work. So,
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
In Florida, the average, I think, 41% of houses have had price reductions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, oh, yeah. And now that the president did not sign, but yet it became law, you can't be a corporation and own houses anymore and buy houses anymore. The companies that have those houses are kind of stuck. They can't sell them to themselves.
There's
what? But
the most.
Oh, what am I drinking? I am drinking. Oh, yeah. The Comrade left as a fool, the fool that he is, left a Dale's Pale here.
I have more.
I know you do, but I'm just saying, you left. I have not had a Dale's Pale in a long time because Oscar Blues, by the way, I just saw today on Big Rick's. Big Rick has this Libation Collective, which I'm their official historian for the longest time.
Okay.
I have been. We don't do anything anymore, but I'm the official historian.
Yeah.
And he was saying that Oscar Blues now is redoubling their efforts to go back to national distribution. So we may be getting 10-50.
Oh,
I love 10-50. 10-50, Old Chubb, Dale's, everybody back into all the states of the Union. So,
please.
And mostly because they are really they're a micro, but a macro at the same time. They have good distribution, but the sales methods of COVID, when people were not buying alcohol, they were buying. No, they weren't buying beer. They were buying liquor.
Yeah.
Yes, they were.
And so people have started to reverse that trend.
They're
so
buying beer again, baby.
They're buying beer again. So.
I would just like to say that I'm a micro and a macro, depending on the state.
Well, if it's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comrade, what you drinking?
I'm going to slow roll the hell out of my North Carolina beers because there's only so many of them. So my second half beer, I have Reef Donkey.
Oh, nice. There you go. I love a good Reef Donkey. That's Ormond, right?
You know,
it's Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
If you add that to like some Kool-Aid, you'll get a Reef Donkey Punch.
Oh, I like a good Reef Donkey Punch.
Questionable, but I'll try it. No, it's so American Pale Ale, not an IPA, an APA. It's a tall boy. It's very refreshing. They come in four packs. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan too.
So, so
I'm drinking the NA boy over here. Decides to go in the refrigerator and pick up a.
So I am the comrade is a fool.
Yes.
And he left behind a Asheville beer called Sweeten Brewing.
Yeah,
Sweeten Creek Brewing.
Yeah, that's the porter. Isn't it?
I'm having the Lunation Porter.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Which I
like that beer a lot.
It's nice. The other NA beers that I had earlier, the
those are great. The butt ones?
The black butts?
The black butt?
I'll try one.
Yeah, they're really nice.
But I had two, and by the time I was done with the second one, it was not as good. So they're just definitely a have one and call it good beer.
Yeah. That's most NA beers most is NA you have beers one or like two. That.
Yep. As an aside, I have an entire other six pack set aside to bring the next time I go.
Yay!
Before I even get into my variety 15 pack.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
Good. Yeah. I spent way too much money on beer in Asheville because I knew I was bringing it back to y'all and y'all would enjoy it.
I'm sorry. I'm very confused. The word I spent way too much money on beer is I'm the guy who here's revolutionary math for you.
Uh-oh.
I will fly business class to Europe, spend 50 days in Europe to drink cheap wine and beer.
Yeah.
In
the
Europe.
Beer was cheap.
Oh, the That's beer and wine were friggin' cheap. The food. By the way, I had my favorite is walking around in Italy in a park, and you walk up to a vendor, and it's a six euro spritzer in a 16-ounce cup.
Oh my god! What?
Oh yeah. It was a 500 milliliter spritzer for €6, and you're walking around, and if you drink quickly, you can get a spritzer and another spritzer and another spritzer, and then sit on a bench for a while.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
Yep. Yeah, for a long while. See, I sat in the park for a long while.
The equivalent spritzer in the United States would be $15.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Right. Yeah, it's $20 spritzers are normal in a lot of places.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm frustrated as all get out. It's brutal.
So last week I was in Milwaukee, which is a great city.
It's a beer city.
Visit. Yeah. And there's a relatively famous cocktail bar called Bryant's. It's very old school. It's very dark, old wood.
Oh, I love
they
that.
They have a Macintosh stereo
Let's
system.
Go. Yep.
Guys know it. They take like 4 years to train to be a bartender because you've got to memorize every cocktail and every ingredient and how to make it. And it's just, it's a whole apprentice. Yeah. Anyway, something you said made me.
The cheap spritzers?
The spritz. Yeah. So, you would think that cocktails in this place would be expensive, but they're actually way cheaper than every place else because they've kind of kept their prices the same.
The old school pricing.
So it's like 12 to 14 for a cocktail made by a professional who's been training for 4 years. It's an artisan cocktail, whereas if you go to other bars in Milwaukee, they're like 16 to 18.
Their menu is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you looking at Bryant's?
Here's
just one. The Candlelight Cocktail. It's a vodka, raspberry puree, and peach beverage served on fire.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
They know how to make all the regulars and twists on the regulars, and they have their 400 of their own private that they won't tell you the ingredients for.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they're all fabulous.
They do pre-prohibition cocktails.
Yeah. Oh, I love pre-pros. Oh, yeah.
They've got something called the Rail Splitter.
Yeah.
That
was my nickname in high school.
The East Side is the one that I discovered this past week, which is delicious. It's a gin cocktail that's very light and refreshing. It's kind of cucumbery and minty.
Ooh, beautiful. That's what gin belongs to.
I don't like cucumber cocktails.
I don't either, but this was balanced and
gin
perfect.
Gin and cucumber is a good combo. Man.
I don't like gin and cucumber.
If you go to Milwaukee, go to Bryant's. It's literally a house on a street of other houses.
Oh, wow.
That's a bar.
They had a fire.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day, 1971, the whole thing burned.
Yeah. Well, they rebuilt the house, or maybe they moved. They did. I don't know.
No, they rebuilt it.
But it's literally you're parking on a residential street, and at the corner is Bryant's. Yeah,
it's
a house.
That's awesome. I'm reminded of that one place off of Virginia and Mills where it's like it's literally just some old lady's house, and she has cigars and beers.
Nora's. Yeah. And Nora's is open when Nora's is open.
Yeah.
And Nora's closes when she's ready for bed.
And I have tried to go to Nora's for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
And I have never made it.
I literally went there finally.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
The visitor and I stumbled in there very accidentally on a Saturday at 4 in the afternoon. And this is the only time I've ever been inside, and I was blown away. I loved it.
Oh yeah, I finally made it, and it was like 5
to that place.
I was on my bike.
Yeah,
I just stopped in because it's like, oh, they're open. Let me go. And I stopped in, and it's fabulous. I met Nora. She showed me around. She asked me, told me about the beers.
Yeah,
Yeah. It was awesome.
Nora's so cool.
Yeah.
She's
like I said, it's open when Nora wants it open, right, and I have never made it in there, and I know every friggin' bartender in this town.
What a what a lovely little gem in Orlando that you only the locals know because you have to be local to get in.
If you drove by it, you're like, what is that place? I'm not going in there.
Oh, and it's never open, so you can just try and continue to drive by.
Where it is like, how the hell is this still a thing?
Yeah.
And the answer is because her family's owned that land for like 85 years.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Go to Bryant's in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
By the way,
I need to go back.
Just like it's cheaper to, if you live anywhere in the United States, to fly to the Japanese Disney World and spend a week there than it is to fly to Orlando Disney World.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
well, the flights are cheaper to Orlando, but the Disney World is more expensive.
Yeah. Someone did a whole thing on the breakdown of how much it cost, and it was like you saved $5,000 by going to Japan.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
This used to be true, and it's even more true now than it was back when they shared it originally.
Yeah.
If you need a knee or a hip replacement,
yes,
it's worth your money and time to literally take a sabbatical from work, go to Spain, live in Spain for a month in a resort that is all inclusive, get your surgery done, do your recovery, and then come home. You'll have saved $30,000.
Do you know how much my hip replacement was billed at?
I'm going to go with $280,000.
$250,000.
Fuck, that was close.
That was the thing.
It's $250,000.
Do you know how much the actual bill was that the insurance and I paid for?
$7,000.
$15,000.
It depends. 15. Here's the answer. Here's the answer to that question. Whatever your insurance company negotiated
My insurance company negotiated a rate. Yeah. I paid a certain amount. They paid the rest, and the total was about 15, which is what
socialism.
Yeah. Socialism versus profit.
Just real quick, what is the name of that company that makes the syrups that we buy? Do you know?
Lieber & Co.
Lieber. Thank you. Yeah.
We really need a sponsorship from them.
We do.
Would shill the hell out of their
products. I would too. Because it was so funny, because Lieber & Co., I use it as a recipe idea.
Yes.
And this week, like it was either this week or last week, I made a fantastic cocktail.
My only complaint about their products is their tonic isn't very bitter.
Oh,
I find their tonic lackluster.
Really? I like their tonic. I don't like my tonic too quinine myself.
My go-to tonic is Fever Tree, and that's
very good. I like Fever Tree's Indian tonic rather than the...
Oh, I've not tried that.
Yeah, it's a lighter tonic.
I like the elderflower tonic.
Elderflower tonic is really good, too.
But like, there's something I like. Why I want a gin and tonic, I want it to punch me in the face a little bit.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And their tonic doesn't quite do that.
I like my gin and tonics. I like my gin and tonics to punch me in the face a little bit.
Punch me in the face a little bit? Yeah, hell yeah.
Nice.
Where do I sign?
No, the thing I don't like about the Lieber ingredients is they're coming like 12-ounce bottles, and that makes that makes me drink a lot.
It makes you drink a lot. I get 750s.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I think I got the 12-ouncers, and it's like, damn, this is going to go to waste. It's going to rot before I got to drink it. And then you make yourself some cocktails.
So you have to devote an entire shelf in your fridge to your Lieber & Co. mixers.
They are shelf stable, and you don't have to put them in your fridge.
The label says refrigerate.
It depends.
Yeah, so but they are shelf stable for a while, but after a while they go bad.
So here's the answer. I made a cocktail for the peanut gallery this week. It's called the Silver Lining Highball.
Ooh, nice.
It's called – so you take grapefruit cordial, Arjot, gin, lemon, and club soda.
Oh, I mean, I thought
so good. I'll make some next week. It's really good.
Yeah,
the silver lining is where you pour a bunch of orange liqueur into a glass and then dump it out and then make a cocktail. That's the silver lining. Is you're done with the orange menace. Mm, mm.
That's
the silver lining.
I see.
Oh, by the way, Brunchcast next week. I'll announce it now. Brunchcast we're gonna have on the August. If you're listening to this past week, if you're listening to it later, you missed it. The next one in your feed is the Brunchcast. It's going to feature a
sobriety to be determined.
Yeah, well, it's going to feature a spread of the things that I love from breakfast while I was traveling. And my favorite breakfast while I'm traveling is German breakfast.
Oh yeah,
which is cold cuts, some good bread,
yeah,
and some other things,
and a boiled egg,
and some boiled eggs.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
I know we're recording. I don't really care at this point.
Exactly.
I got a call from the bar about dinner.
Oh, me too. Hey, did you know that it was only for one person, right? Yeah.
What?
That's what I got.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, hey, you did one? Do you want two? And I was like, no, the thespian has opted out.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Great.
Well, when we took up 30%, just the three of us took up 30% of the available seats.
Yes.
I did not want to take up additional seats so that they could profit from them.
I 100% invited the thespian, but she will be arriving back from out of town that day.
Yeah.
So that's not it.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's going to be a great. It's a Belgian dinner too, which drives me crazy.
Excited. Yeah.
But the peanut gallery will be sitting nearby, and I will throw her food like a puppy, because I will not be able to eat all of it. I've already looked at the menu. There's no possible way I'm eating all of it.
Oh, I don't want to know anything about the menu. I just want to
and my housemate can't eat anything on there. So
no. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I was asked. That's why
and
I was
don't
asked.
Like gooses, so only half of the things they would sample.
And that's why I was asked. You know, hey, you know, are you sure? I'm like, I told our good friend that, she'll be attending to drive me home because of the number of drinks that we're going to be having.
Oh yeah,
it's one per course and it's six courses. So yeah, we might be sitting outside. I will be bringing cigars to sit outside. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so this week we continue with this ridiculous model of administration by our government. Mm-hmm. We're still at war. The war is expanding.
Wait, I thought we were at peace earlier this week, and now we're at war again.
Oh, no. No, there is no peace. We have a Department of War. We have no Department of Defense. We have a Department of War.
Yeah.
So, therefore, they need to commit war.
There's never peace.
No,
there
is
no
peace.
Yeah, but he wants the peace prize. He's got to create peace.
Oh, no. He already has the FIFA peace prize.
I do really enjoy the yo-yo pattern of peace talks bombings, peace talks bombings.
Yeah. Oh, it's not even the yo-yo. It's peace talk same-day bombing.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like it, there's no subtlety to it. There's no grace to it. It's just, you know that we've got a bombing raid planned because Donald Trump talks about peace talks.
Yeah. Well, and also remember, he is putting money into the futures markets for oil. The man has made more trades on oil futures. Literally, he will make a trade, and the next day while he's doing peace talks, and the next day he will bomb Iran. The very next day, driving futures through the roof, and then he will sell.
And they're still falling.
Then he'll short. And everyone is still falling for it. You know, the man is, whoever is handling his accounts, all of them, the Democratic folks in the House this week put forward a bill, which, of course, will fail miserably. I love, by the way, anytime you hear these words, Republican, Democrat, whatever, put forward a bill this week. That means it was introduced in the House.
Does that mean that it goes to committee?
No, it doesn't. It hasn't even hit committee yet. It's we have put – I put my name on a bill and then said we're going to start.
Right.
So that does not
– Marco Rubio famously co-sponsored hundreds of bills.
Hundreds of bills.
And never even made it through committee.
And he never voted on any of them. Yeah.
Never showed up to vote.
By the way, Mitch McConnell has missed 100 or so votes now.
100?
There's multiple votes a day. So
did you know he co-sponsored a bill while wherever he is?
Well, remember, those things were done before he was wherever he is now. He's looking up at us. He's looking up at all of us laughing.
So it's it's one of those things. If from the date he had his accident and disappeared –
yeah.
If his name appears on something that he did, that's fraud.
Yeah it's all fraud. All of his people are committing so much fraud.
I'm so sorry. You guys are really quiet.
Are we?
Yes.
Huh. I don't think we are, but We will. We'll see what we can do.
My volume is cranked, and you guys are quiet.
How are we now?
It seems better.
How are we now? Can you hear me now?
Canadian's better. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I brought it up a bit.
Okay.
There was a coaster on it, so I brought it up a bit.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway. One of the things is that, you know, with all of this stuff, when you hear the words, we are introducing a bill. Okay, that's my favorite. Mm-hmm. The introduction of that bill only means that somewhere paperwork was filed. It doesn't mean that anything actually happened. Yep. And most of the times, even bills that are introduced fail before committee. They go into committee and they fail.
As we learned from John Stewart's attempts at getting the troops taken care of post 9/11,
right?
They don't write those bills. Interns write those bills, or even worse, staffers from consulting companies write those bills.
Correct.
And then the senator goes, "What is the name of the bill? Nah, it sounds good enough. I'll sign it."
Right.
Author.
Right. Right.
Like, ridiculous.
Right.
Congress is so inherently and systemically broken.
But what did the Democrats introduce this bill as?
I can't wait to hear.
So the they introduced a bill that says we can, as American citizens, personally sue the president of the United States for any of the material gains he has made in office.
That's fun.
So he's made a $3 billion gain?
Yep.
I will be part of a class action American citizen lawsuit to get my $50 of the 260 million people who are named as voters in this country. I'll take my $50.
Yeah, you let me know when the ACLU is on and I'll co-sign.
Exactly. But that's what so when I heard that, I'm like, that's cool. And the first comment that was under that statement on Threads was yeah, you Dems, all you want to do is get money out of Trump.
Yeah.
What?
That you guys just want to get money out of Trump because he's so successful.
Trump derangement syndrome
is not a Democratic problem.
Right. It's a thing, but he pointed it at the wrong people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No normal person has five flags of a man's face hanging off the back of their jacked up pickup truck.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, no, they do. They do if they're in love with them.
So
yeah.
So
yeah.
I will tell this person that that's not all I want. I want him to like go to jail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
That's really what I want.
I would
love financially, if you took those $4 billion dollars away from him, that would help.
Yeah.
I am willing to personally purchase, manufacture, and design a trebuchet. And we will aim it into the sea.
Yeah.
And pending a prison sentence, we will execute said prison sentence with said trebuchet.
Ah. Into the sea, you say. That's
my commitment to justice.
Yeah. Yeah. I suggest launching it into the wall between the United States and Mexico.
It's much more fun to get the
river?
I want airtime.
No, into the wall.
We'll do it the river to the...
From the river to the walls. From the river to the walls to the sweat drip down my balls.
We'll set up at the St. John's.
Yes.
And we'll aim outward.
Yes.
And we'll go from the river to the sea. And I will personally commit...
Did you just make an Israel joke? That's what that was. Sorry, I apologize. I missed that until right now. Yeah. By the way, fuck BB Netanyahu and his entire administration. By the way, we can go live on TikTok now. I just want to point that out.
We can go live on TikTok?
I now have achieved the ability to go live on TikTok.
Awesome. Can we do Twitch next week and TikTok?
I'm going to hook my phone up to do live on TikTok next week during our drunken brunchcast.
Yeah. That'll sound.
Yeah. And we'll see how fast we get banned from TikTok. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's an American company now, so we got to watch it.
Banned.
I love your enthusiasm.
Let's take that as a challenge.
Hey, I'm going to write that down as the comrade says we won't get banned from TikTok.
Betting dollar.
Betting dollar. Yeah.
What's that? We have a running thing on nukes.
Oh, the current one is on nukes
nuking Iran.
Mine was going to nuke Iran by the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. I still disagree. It's not going to happen.
Nobody took you on that bet.
I did. I took him on that bet.
Sorry. Yeah. Everybody took you on that bet.
Yeah.
Listen, as we run out of bombs, there's going to be only certain bombs left.
So on that note, and my favorite part about this past 2 weeks is the statement from the Department of Defense, and the president then did things that then would indicate that the Department of Defense was right. Is that we're running out of munitions?
Yeah,
because
bring that up. Yeah,
because Peter Kegstand,
yeah,
our Secretary of Defense,
he's shooting his wife.
Go ahead, say it. You can say whatever you. The Secretary of Defense.
No,
yeah, the one he calls himself something else, but he's the Secretary of Defense. In his little office with the chiseled on letters, which are not real,
and his arm press.
I was going to say he's the secretary of bench press, right?
Oh, he's a secretary of dumbbell presses.
He's got this kind of form.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Every time that he tries to prove that he is manly, I'm like, dude, your form is terrible. What are these little jump things you're doing? I don't know what you're doing, dude.
I am an old fat man, and I can bench more than he can.
Yeah.
He watched a YouTube video on how people do good form exercises, and that's what he does. Because he's never worked out in his life.
No.
Obviously, no. Well, he does have a makeup studio, so that's the important part.
Now, I will beg to differ. I believe he's done a lot of 12-ounce curls in his life.
No, I'm saying 4 to 5-ounce curls.
I think he's done a lot of 3 to 6 inch curls.
Yeah.
3 to 6 inch curls. Are you talking about 3 to 6 inch curls this way?
Yeah.
Use the shake weight a lot.
A lot of shake weight. Well, he does want to make sure that everyone has plenty of testosterone, which is of course gender affirming care in the military, which he banned everybody who was getting gender affirming care from the military in the first place.
It
expands.
You cannot apply reality, logic, and critical thinking to anything happening in DC.
Right.
It's the fact that this man said, well, we're going to make sure we don't have any of them damn trannies in our military, but we're going to make sure all of our 30-plus-year-old guys have way too much testosterone, so when they leave the military, they'll die unless they get more dosages of it.
Correct.
Is... just it literally I was doing an Alex Jones voice because that's what it is. It's Alex Jones level logic. It's insane.
So what's happening?
And even Alex Jones,
frankly,
hold on.
Dangerous.
And even Alex Jones has gone the other way now. Go ahead.
So what's happened is because this president is a malignant narcissist and won't take criticism from anybody, and if you don't do what he says, you lose your job.
Right.
He has gotten rid of anybody of any competence.
Yes.
And you can tell that because the US government gave a presentation to the UN,
I think, the UN, about
Africa and how they're unstable. And they showed a map with certain countries highlighted in Africa, and every single one was wrong.
Hey, even the Belgians can find the Congo.
Yeah.
It's the only part of the Africa.
It's the only part of Africa they could find.
Yeah.
Well, that's where my Belgian friends.
I will freely admit that my lack of knowledge of Africa's geography is embarrassing.
Hey, but a trapezoid. And a trapezoid is not the same as a rhombus or a square.
I said geography, didn't I?
You did, but that's my favorite part. It's the geometry of
that is the
all the time.
That is the administration talking back to you.
The administration is like your geometry is incorrect.
What do you mean?
Yeah,
we drew squares. That's
I can do trig at work all day long.
Yeah,
it's applicable.
Yes,
does
trig complain?
I should know more about Africa than I do. It's embarrassing.
But it's
how
so. But again,
It's not hard to just Google a map of Africa.
They did better.
ChatGPT'd
one. They asked Grok.
Was it Grok or ChatGPT?
Well, remember, everything that's involved with the American government right now is based on Grok, and because they can't use ChatGPT because that's OpenAI.
I thought it was Anthropic.
They can't use Anthropic. They can't use that either. No, both of those have been removed because they Anthropic was removed because they would not allow for autonomous bombs.
OpenAI,
which is ChatGPT, is only allowed in minor cases. So whatever they ask, they probably ask Grok to draw a picture of Africa and label it.
Yeah, something like that. That
explains why we don't know where anything in Africa is.
Just to clarify.
Well, it's because it's not a child with no clothes on, and that's what Grok is best at drawing.
Yeah, and we'll get to that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Anthropic was banned from the government because they wouldn't say, you can use our AI to kill people.
Yeah.
Autonomously,
right. Yeah,
you gotta have a guy say, "Yeah, I want to kill that guy."
Right.
But the problem is that so much of their infrastructure runs on Anthropic that they couldn't ban them, really. So they've unbanned them now. So they can use Anthropic. But this was some other – this is a State Department guy, lackey, probably 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the story about – I want to say it was Claude. Chats are in Google search results now?
Oh, everything. Yeah. So it's all Claude chats that have been allowed for public consumption, which
are just indexed on Google.
Everything is. So the ones that are asking questions publicly, yes.
It's not as bad as you think.
But it's still bad.
It's real bad.
It's worse.
Only the internal Anthropic chats that made it to
Google. Right. Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not your personal private ones to Claude.
Oh no, I've used the Google search within the site of Claude.
Yeah.
And gotten results of just random conversations.
Oh.
Yeah.
What I understood what was actually leaked into Google was the internal.
No, those were there. That's one part. But if you go into site colon Claude and ask questions about like conversations, it will show you tons of conversations that people had. Yep. And people who are asking questions about their psychological care, their medical care, their coding, their questions about, you know, geometry and geography, you know, all those things.
So the thing that gets me the most I believe is the most telling of how failed of a system the United States is as a society is when the moment we have a internet informed live chatbot. One of the biggest things people go to it for is psychological help.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, brain, the teeth, and the body are separate entities in our world.
Yeah. So your teeth have no bearing on your health, of course, because we're in America.
Right.
Everywhere else in the developed world, they understand.
Except for England. They're not in the EU anymore. So yeah, that's historical.
And then your mind, of course, has nothing to do with your body.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a YouTube short that shows up where a guy's asking geography questions like, you know, can you name this country? What country is the smallest? You know, what country has
trapezoid?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's a geometry question.
Yeah,
yeah.
Triangle
would be the smallest.
One of the ones today.
What's the capital of
Kuala Lumpur? Trapezoid.
There we go. Yeah. Oh my god.
One of the questions today was which country has the most therapists per capita?
Oh, America. That's the most rapists.
And the number of people who said the U.S. was hilarious.
The most rapists?
Yeah, the most. The rapists.
The rapists most. Yeah.
Do most the rapists. The most?
Oh, no.
Per capita.
Oh, per capita. I'm pretty sure we have. Yeah.
So
I think we're low on the per capita scale.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We are way low on the per capita. The high was Argentina with 222. And then
I mean, racists need therapists too.
Yeah. Germans need. Yeah. Germans
the,
need.
The Netherlands was number 3.
Huh.
Some weird country was number 2. I don't remember which one. You know, Rhodesia or something like that. It was weird.
Oh, okay.
Does Rhodesia still exist? Hold on.
Anyway. So Netherlands, U.S. was like last at 30.
Yeah. Yeah. 30 per person.
30 per capita. Yeah.
Oh, 30 per person. Yeah.
30 per 100,000.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Huh.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't have therapists here. So.
Huh.
We have rapists.
Well, we have one in the White House.
In the government.
In the White House, yeah.
But no therapists.
Donald Trump was convicted of sexual abuse and fraud.
So I was
trying, that is a fact.
Yeah.
We will not go any further than that.
I was trying to figure out what Netanyahu has on Trump. And I figured
Costa Rica has a very high number.
There it is. And the reason for that is because you can get anything in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what does Netanyahu have on Trump where Trump would just like bend over for everything?
Epstein.
Oh, well, absolutely.
It can't just be Epstein.
Why not?
Because he's already got this whole Epstein thing under control.
But Does he?
I mean, he does. Well,
if there's video, maybe.
The answer to your question, comrade, is does he have it under control? Let's see. The Congress voted to release the documents in January.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is currently August.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It'll be August tomorrow. You know, 2 hours.
He has. I will give you that he has the Epstein list prosecution under control. He
to which
have the issue under control
at 3 o'clock today. Mm-hmm. Todd Blanch, the current what is he called? The Attorney General. He's the current acting Attorney General.
He's an assistant Attorney General.
He's acting Attorney General. Yeah. By the way, he's. I'm going to say the
he's
words.
He's an acting attorney.
He is the acting Attorney General who Donald J. Trump today withdrew from the confirmation process, and he said he'll try again when there's a more favorable Congress, Senate. Exactly. Because currently there are a couple of Republicans that are like, you can go pound sand. Mm-hmm. We are never going to make sure this guy is.
We should talk about those dudes in the cuck chair because they're not exactly. This is the thing. Todd Blanch cut this deal where Trump couldn't be prosecuted by the IRS. He had immunity from the whole thing was the $1.776 billion
court and failed multiple times.
Right.
No, the slush fund has failed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the immunity, which can be granted by the Justice Department,
correct,
has been said. Oh, yeah, we're not going to do that. But it's never been written in paper.
Right.
So these lawyers,
because it can be challenged if it's written down.
Right. These senators wanted him to write in a note, basically a memo to Congress that he would not do it.
Right.
And he refused, and Trump withdrew his nomination because those guys were not cooperating.
Right.
So the thing that's important to Donald Trump in all of this is that he not be prosecuted by the IRS in
for
the
fraud.
Future.
For yeah. fraud.
Well,
for fraud.
I mean, or tax evasion. That's or why tax he ran for president again.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So, the minute he's not president, he'll either be one of two things. Yeah. We'll be drinking champagne, or he'll be in prison.
I want to reiterate how important this is.
Yeah. Dead and in prison?
Drinking champagne and dead. And in prison.
And in prison.
This is just a piece of paper. It's not like a legal proceeding in front of a judge.
No.
It's just a letter to Congress saying, I don't do this.
Right.
It has as much enforcement as a letter to your mom saying, I'm going to quit drinking.
Right.
Well, I was going to say,
Pete Hegseth.
I wonder if it has as much concreteness to it as Brent Kavanaugh saying established law.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly at that
level.
So the fact that Trump is going to pull Blanch because of this letter that means nothing.
Yeah.
Shows how weak he is, because all the guys want is the letter, and then your attorney,
we're good.
What do you mean you did it?
Yeah,
right. That he won't give the letter.
Yeah.
All I can think of because it's the most historical awareness I have of the subject matter.
Right.
Is the famous brain drain of Stalinist Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Stalin famously removed or killed anybody he deemed a threat to his power.
Yep.
Right.
Which was basically anybody competent anywhere in him or government.
Well, that's what Trump's doing.
Apart from the killing part.
Well, yeah, but he's removing these people from seats of power.
Right.
So the moment you don't operate to make his life better, you're dead to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fact that first off, he did this in his first term. It was just less blatant.
Yeah.
To the average person, it was very blatant.
There were just more people in the way.
Yeah. Right. Right. The mechanisms of government slowed him down, but he was still trying it.
Yeah.
The mechanisms of government have been removed. The impediments of government to Donald Trump have been removed. Therefore, what he wants to do happens. But it's so funny to me that all he's doing is going, hey, bro, what you got for me? And people go, I don't know, man. You don't got a lot for me, so what do I got for you? And he goes, cool, you're gone.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah.
And like with Project 2025 and like with everything else, here we are on the left going, guys, this is bad. Yeah. And everyone on the right going, I don't see it. Until a Thomas Massey voter goes, oh,
yeah,
And like it's like with every other issue in this country with Republicans, if they aren't personally and directly affected by the consequences of their actions, they don't exist.
Correct.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of conservatives in America.
I know.
Where if it doesn't directly affect their pocketbook, if it doesn't directly affect their ability to hate the person they hate, if it doesn't affect their family unit, they don't care.
I would argue their faith in their politicians can override quite a lot of that.
Yeah.
But when there is no scapegoat for the doublethink, when the right goes, no, but the right is in charge, we're doing the thing for the right, and also the right's getting it wrong.
Yeah.
And there's no way to explain it because it's just Republicans doing stuff.
Yeah.
That's when everything implodes.
Yeah.
Well, I understand that things are more expensive and all these other things, and everybody accepts that, but I don't believe that the average Republican voter understands the connection between Trump and their bills going up.
Well, but statistically, Republican administrations create debt.
Yeah.
Republican administrations create recessions.
What are these big words you're using?
I don't understand. Well, yeah, it makes things less affordable. I'll use a word that the president doesn't understand.
Yeah. Doesn't three syllables, dude.
Currently, the president also doesn't understand how tariffs work.
Right.
And so he puts a 50 to a 200% tariff on one of our larger trading partners, and it creates all kinds of problems.
We currently have
25% of the tourists in our state from Canada that we've had in the past.
And they're not coming back.
They're never coming back.
They're done.
Begging from the president is, hey, buy liquor, Canada, from the United States. Nope. And Canada's like, we're good. We'll buy it from Scotland. We don't need bourbon.
We'll make our own. Thank you.
We don't need bourbon. We'll buy scotch from Scotland and we'll buy Irish whiskey from Ireland.
I cannot put to words how immensely frustrated I am with this tariff shit.
Yeah.
After the Supreme Court agreed that he did not have the right
to
force tariffs, we're going through like a $200 billion refund.
Yep. But remember, Todd, what's the guy's name? The Secretary of Commerce or whatever that guy's name is. The fart smelling guy, Nutlick. Yeah.
Not Nutlick, but
close enough. Nutlick is sitting there smelling his own farts, because when you watch him, whenever he's talking, he looks like he's smelling his own farts. He is sitting there saying everything is fine because his family is the one loaning companies money to make sure they can pay the tariffs. And then once the tariffs are refunded, the company gets the money back and they pay they may pay Nutlick's family the money for the loans that were made. All right. So that's the reason why they keep doing these. And again, Donald Trump should not be allowed to impose tariffs on people again.
That's what's so frustrating. Like who in the government is hearing the president illegally state tariffs now exist and going, yep, we're going to collect them. Who is that?
Everybody.
But
the guy who wants to keep his job because he's got a comfy chair.
Remember, this person has a job, and it says you work at the pleasure of the president, regardless of what branch of government you're currently in.
12-year-old girl.
Yeah, exactly.
If I am a company importing goods and my invoice has a line item for the tariff, I'm just not paying it.
You can't.
You have to pay it at the border.
You have to pay it at the border. Who
enforces that?
The guy at the border.
Border and Customs and Border Control. ICE enforces it.
No, that's not ICE. ICE doesn't do ports.
Yes.
Immigration and Customs.
That's Immigration and Customs and Border Control. That's ICE.
Hey, it's time for an ICE tea party, baby.
It is. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
No, it's wild and it's stupid.
They can't swim.
It's wild and stupid. I agree.
And the problem is they will sue that this is an illegal tariff, and it will go through the courts for a year, and they'll say, yeah, it's illegal, and they'll try to refund the money again.
Refund the money. No, and Comrade, they refund the money to the corporation. The corporation gets their money back. Their prices are still higher, and they still made all that profit because now they got the money back from the tariffs.
It's like getting your tax refund.
Yep.
Except it's not, because I was listening to NPR on the way to work literally 2 days ago, talking about this particular topic.
Yep. You believe that, liberal rag? No, continue. Keep going.
No. Let's be very clear. Yeah. Centrist drip.
Centrist drip.
It's not a liberal rag.
That's right.
Anyway, NPR was interviewing a medium to large company owner about these tariff things, and he's like, "Yeah, we filed for a refund," and they're like, "Well, how much have you gotten?" He goes, "Well, they've given out so much." The federal government is legally on the hook for somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 billion.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Refunds.
Yes.
They've only refunded about $90 billion.
Yes.
Okay. So there's still $150 billion in refunds up in the air that nobody's seen and nobody knows how to find. And these companies are like, well, we don't really know when or how we're going to get it. It's just so stupid.
We need Doge to come back in here and fix all this.
Can I point out that under the previous Trump administration, they lost 4,000 kids and we really haven't found them
yet? We still haven't found them yet. They're on Epstein Island.
They're gone. They're dead.
They're on Epstein Island.
My point being is, are we surprised that they lost $190 billion?
Yeah.
Why don't we check Trump's bank account?
It's much worse than that. They didn't lose that money. They're just not paying.
Oh, yes. I bet it's – I know where it is. It's in Trump's bank account.
It's in the East Wing and the helicopter pad on the South. Yeah, exactly.
No, it's probably – it's probably in Saudi. It's probably in some non-extradition country like Argentina.
Yeah. It's in Ivana's
It might be in Venezuela. Yeah. He might have put it into a Venezuelan bank because he owns that.
The $40 billion in Argentina.
Yeah. I mean, they moved it around so that we can't touch it. That's the whole point. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Congress should be able to solve this problem if they have the ball maxing? If they have the testicular fortitude.
Yeah. If they weren't testicular minning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they weren't ball minning. Yeah.
If they had the testicle integrity.
No. Yeah. No, I'm going to go with ovary maxing.
Yeah. Yeah. But eventually
produce something.
Again, the money is out there, and if a company paid the tariffs. Now, by the way, a lot of those tariffs are owed to places like Walmart. Right. They're owed to Walmart. Amazon. They're owed to Amazon. They're owned to companies that already have such massive profits that because they made all the money back because they just improved their price. They just increased their prices.
Yes. Yes.
So they're not hurting,
I wanted to talk about a subject that's that's tangential to this.
Tangential? Please go tangentially.
Transgenerally.
Go transgenerally at this point.
It involves Elon Musk.
Oh, that he. By the way, my favorite thing the past few weeks is the gray haired woman from the BBC who had an interview with him, who looked him square in the face and said, "People hate you."
Yeah,
and
she read him dirt.
Oh, and he started with people hate the press. People hate you. People hate the press. People hate you more than they hate me.
He tries the Donald Trump strategy, but it doesn't work for him at all.
Well, she called him the formerly richest man in the world, and that hit him so hard. You could see it on his face that it hit him, and he went,
Yeah, it was great. For anybody listening, if you're an evil human being, don't get an interview with the BBC.
No.
Don't interview any British guy.
No.
To be clear, the BBC is not good.
They ask the right questions.
They are used to holding people to account.
Yep. Yep. And they will.
And they will.
Right. So what do you have on the Elmo Muskrat?
So a lot of this, I think people kind of intrinsically knew, but they didn't understand the mechanism behind it. So SpaceX went public.
It did. It did.
And it went public at a particular price.
Billy!
And there was no SpaceX. Usually when you go public, you release a bunch of stock and people buy it and the price fluctuates. And then after a while, you end up on an exchange if you're big enough and stable enough. Yeah. If your thing doesn't go through.
Yep.
So SpaceX somehow got a deal. Hey, we're so good. Put us on the exchange anyway. And they got on the NASDAQ exchange, the NASDAQ index.
Yep.
Now, my understanding is you need to trade for a minimum of 6 months at a certain level of volume.
Minimum.
Supposedly, yeah. That's how it usually works. Yeah. But they got a special deal somehow.
Yeah.
So
now what's the big deal about being on the NASDAQ?
So
I'm feeding
it's not
me.
It's not just the NASDAQ. So you've when you become a member of the index, mm-hmm. all of the index related funds have to buy your stock.
Right. So if you own an index stock fund, you now own SpaceX.
So let's suppose just a simple math. There are 9 companies in the index, and you add a tenth. So you've owned 1 million shares in each one of those 9 companies. Mm. You're an index fund. You have to now buy 1 million shares of the tenth.
Right.
That's how it works. And it's more than there's more than 9. Now, I don't remember how many.
To be clear,
it's 500 on the S&P.
Well, so. But they're not the S&P, just the NASDAQ.
Yeah, I know the NASDAQ.
To be clear, these index fund holders are like 401ks.
It's absolutely. Funds, it's right? It's like you don't know.
Index.
Comrade, my favorite part, and I'm going to say it to you because you're on the screen. My favorite part about index funds is that you really don't know what you're investing in if you're investing in the index.
Right.
But it's a very stable. It's supposed to be. Supposed to be an extremely stable bet that will constantly have some percentage of growth.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, the idea. My understanding of the idea is the index funds don't make a lot of money.
No,
they beat interest.
They beat interest and they beat inflation.
They have historically always beat the average guy investing for stocks. Mm-hmm. They get about 7 to 10%,
and they beat inflation.
Right.
So the idea is if you have a 401k or a Roth IRA or some other form of
retirement fund
investment vehicle.
Yes. Which we have to have in this country because we don't have a safety net.
You're part of a very large pool, and that very large pool has significant investments in the index funds, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, the Japanese indexes, whatever.
Warren Buffett's investment strategy was invest in index.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. He told his wife, when I die, buy the index.
Yeah.
Right. That's in his will.
That's his thing.
Go ahead. So
the reason for that is there's a lot of rules.
Yes.
For a stock to get on the index.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason why when you turn on CNBC or Fox Money or whatever, they reference the indexes first.
Right.
There's a big reason for that. And that reason is that they're very stable. Yep. They're not risky. They're not reactionary. They're meant to be kind of the guiding light of the stock market.
Right. They're the General Electric of companies, right? They're
Except
around.
That's
they're
a bad
stable.
Example in the last 15 years.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. If they're big, stable, or in a tech world, they're the Microsoft or the Intel,
Apple.
They're the big, stable companies get on the index, so you can tell how the market's going by how these companies. So SpaceX.
Currently, it's 102 stocks on NASDAQ. Okay.
So they had to go buy a bunch of SpaceX, right? Mm-hmm. When index funds had to buy SpaceX to maintain their index because SpaceX came and boom, they're on the index. So now I got to buy a bunch of stock. SpaceX as a company did not release much stock. I don't remember what the percentage is, but it was a very small amount, 5% or something. So there's not a lot of stock out there to buy.
Yeah.
No. So that keeps the price high.
It did not, though.
No, it did. And they had
higher than it should be.
They had to buy at the high price.
Yeah.
Right. So who's selling the stock?
The people who owned it.
That's SpaceX.
Yeah.
They released the hold because usually what happens is private investors get to sell second because the company wants to make their money. So you release 30-40% of your stock. That's the only stock people can buy. Yep. You get your 40% chunk out and you make bank, right?
And there's normally a 6 to 12 month hold on
selling investor stock.
Yes.
Right. The One Man Revolution podcast is not a financial podcast and we do not give financial advice.
I am not giving financial advice. I am just telling a story.
We're talking about news.
Well, I just wanted to throw that in there. Yes. Yeah.
So
thank you.
So here we go. We broke into rules. We put the stock on the index and we two said, hey, investors, you can sell right away.
Correct. Which is horrible.
So
worst idea ever.
So now the index funds are forced to buy the stock, and the only people they can buy it from are private investors who are trying to make their money out of SpaceX.
Yep.
So these foreign investors primarily are now getting their money out of SpaceX at a huge profit.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
At the expense of all American and everyone's 401k that had to buy into SpaceX.
Do we know when the IPO was?
It was while I was gone. So
you can look it up. Yeah,
it was late early, May or early June. Yeah.
So I believe it was June the.
Yes. It was while I was in. It was while I was in Europe. 12. Yes. Okay. Yes.
I'm looking at the stock index as.
Oh, it's okay? It's fallen so, like on, a fucking stone. I'll take the strike on that one.
So June the 12th opened at 150, closed at 161.
Right. As the index had to buy it.
Went up.
It's high.
Yep.
Was June the 16th.
Yep.
Closed at 211 a share.
Yes, it did. As and people sold.
As indexes are buying.
As we speak, it is July 31st.
Right.
Okay.
31 July.
We are currently sitting at a close of 107.
Yep. So half. Less than half.
In 6 weeks.
Yes.
So it has lost 55% of its value.
So all of your index funds just lost 5%.
Yes.
That's it. That's the one. Because Canadian, you sent this to me earlier this week.
That's why I'm not an index fund.
And it was a guy that was talking with John Stewart on the weekly show.
Cory Doctorow, who did
Doctorow.
That guy is a brilliant communicator.
Yeah.
That episode, I'm not a huge fan of the weekly show, but that particular episode is absolutely worth your time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched this little clip, and from that and other things that I've seen, my understanding of that is basically the concept of the 401k is dead.
Yeah.
No. Hang on. If a rich enough billionaire is able to pull off a money laundering scheme like this publicly and they play along, your 401k is just along for the ride.
Okay, so first and foremost, you do have control over what your 401k is.
Yeah, you don't have to put it in the NASDAQ.
You don't have to put it in NASDAQ. Okay. You don't have to put it in indexes.
Okay.
My 401k is mostly in international and non-tech related stocks.
There you go.
Okay, so as long as you have the ability to just – if you never touch it and you just go, I want all index stocks, then you're screwed.
The 401k, my understanding is it's a hands-off thing.
No. Not really. Not at all.
Usually, depending on your company, you can usually pick a fund to put it in.
Correct.
Right? You can pick an index-heavy fund. You can pick a foreign-heavy fund. You can pick an oil-heavy fund.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get – you get like five choices, right? And they all have a mix, whatever. Yeah. But it depends on your thing. Very rarely are you like, I'm 100% in the NASDAQ.
Right.
That's a personal choice.
Yeah, that's a personal choice. And if you want to make that choice, that's fine. And there are plenty of blue chip people out there that are old investors that are like, well, I just lost 5% of my overall. Like, why are you only in the NASDAQ, you idiot?
Yeah.
One Man Revolution podcast is not a financial podcast.
But more importantly... the fact that somebody can manipulate the system that's supposed to be there to make sure investments are sound is problematic. This now, if Elon gets away with it, you know the next group of IPOs are going to try to get away with it.
Well, the fun part is that Elon lost $250 billion.
Yeah, but he got his creditors off his back from the money that...
But he lost 200, and he is no longer the richest man in the world. He has lost a lot of credibility and people having faith in him because of this.
I'd like to point out, this is a report from Axios.
Okay, go ahead.
From 2024.
Sure.
Okay, so this is a couple of years old.
Yeah.
Based on a quarterly report from 2022. So we're rolling back a couple of years.
Sure.
93% of U.S. household stock market wealth is held by the top 10%.
Absolutely. Here's the other fun part.
The idea that the stock market is a viable investment vehicle for the average person is dead.
So I was having a wonderful discussion last night with my father-in-law. He is a retired individual who made his money by being a defense contractor. He developed all kinds of wonderful things that helped our troops stay safe. Mm-hmm, okay. I'm not going to say what, but he did a lot of those great things and developed them as a very small company helping with massive technology that they created on their own. Okay. Sure. So another one of those, it's kind of a bootstrapping type of thing. He late in his life became an engineer because he needed that information so that he could fix problems that he was having in his company.
Sure.
Yep, all right. Cool. So this is a man who became a mechanical engineer in his like 40s. because he had problems that he wanted to solve. Okay. So
doesn't seem too late in life.
But it's later than being in your 20s. Okay.
Yeah.
So we were having a discussion last night over dinner, and he used to be a very very fiscally conservative. The Republican Party is the right party. I don't understand.
Money.
And in the past 5 years that I've been interacting with him, he's become F that guy in the Oval Office, Donald John Trump. Okay. So I don't know how he got reelected kind of idea. Because he has Trump derangement disorder.
He's got six trucks. He's got six Trump flags on his SUV.
Because he went the other way. He lost faith in Trump. But he said, he didn't vote for the guy in the past couple elections. It's like, I don't understand what's going on. But we were
I'll forgive 2016 and that one's it.
Yeah. But we were talking about the fact of the stock market. And the fact is that there are folks, he's like, look, he's been moving things around because he's a retired individual who relies on the income,
passive income
from that. And I said, look, my friend, and he goes, so how are you diversified? And I'm like, here's my thing. I do have my money from the university that went into, my 401k. I misplaced some money from another 401k that ended up making a shit ton of money. I have my retirement that I put away when I retired. I have all these things, all this money that's rolling around.
Right.
And I said, I would rather sit at a blackjack table and make my money than put my money in stocks, because when I was married to my first wife, I sat in a room with an individual who was a stock marketer and I watched him move stocks by making phone calls. And I'm like, that is not real. I would like to have some control over my money. Okay?
I have a story.
Put it all on black. That's my whole thing. Yeah, or double zero green. That's my other
thing. My uncle, genuinely one of the coolest people I know, who's a family member of mine. He's married into the family, which tells you a lot.
It's that good pussy.
Bad choices?
No, it's that good pussy. Bad choices, good pussy. Go ahead, keep going. Well, no, it's your family. We're just over here being Statler and Waldorf at this point.
My mother's twin, so do with that what you
Statler,
want.
Statler, tight anyway, as all tight can be.
Dude is cool as hell. He's a Queens guy, right? Like, grew up in Queens. His dad was Fidney. Cool dude. But he's a money guy.
Because
he's a money guy. He's a Republican, because of course he is. But he's a New York Republican, which makes him way cooler than 98% of most Republicans.
Sure.
Anyway, I got to watch him work one time because he worked at a commercial stock brokerage. Okay.
Oh yeah.
He would do $1 to $10 million share trades.
Oh yeah. Four phone calls
in the course of 15 minutes.
Yep. Four phone calls.
And. It was honestly, it was very eye-opening to watch his behavior and his demeanor change at work versus when he's at home. Like, that was wild, because I was 20 at the time, so all I'd ever known.
Comrade, I'm going to say these words to you. Mm-hmm. Not his money, easy to make bets.
So he worked 100% commission.
No. The commission goes whether or not you make money.
I'm aware. He gets paid on the trade.
Correct.
He doesn't care if they make money or not.
Not your money, not a problem.
But
when
you work for these firms, making money is how you get the call back.
Oh, I know.
Right? So his thing was basically not day trading, certainly not, but he had to be plugged in
to
the minute by minute fluctuations in the market to tell the next guy that called him in a panic, what do I do, to give him good advice in under 30 seconds to execute a trade. And he would make literally twice my annual salary for two phone calls.
Sure. But here's the other fun part about those guys, Glengarry Glen Ross, all of those movies that we've all seen.
Yep.
But the answer to that question is, when you make money, regardless of your clients making money or losing money, and the only thing that keeps you having a job is if your clients eventually make money,
even if
you lose now, even if they lose today, they don't lose tomorrow.
Right.
That's whatever, but you make money regardless.
Yep.
So here's,
it's like being in the house. It's like being in the house at a casino.
Right. Yeah. You're the table person.
You're the table. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, think of it this way. You've got 1,000 people on your email list, right?
Yep.
And you say the index is going buy index, sell index, right?
Yep.
Boy, half of them lose. So yep. The other half, you say, look, I was right last time. Do it again.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're going to end up with a group of people
that'll follow you.
In.
Yeah.
You've got,
like
hey,
the
you've made.
Was saying the house right. always wins.
House right. always wins.
But yeah. now you've got this 10 win streak. People are like, this guy's making me money. I'm going to say, all you're doing is playing the odds and being random.
Yeah.
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 But more importantly, right? Like the scale and margins of these numbers are so far beyond the average person's comprehension. It's wild.
I want to also point out before you have this one. People who do the stock market or, quote, the financial markets produce nothing, create nothing, do nothing but make numbers go up and down.
Right.
And so to me, I would rather have cottage industry. I would rather go back to medieval standards of practices where you have people that make things and do things rather than someone who just sits in a room going, I made $20 million today. It's like, I don't care. How? Yeah. How did you make $20 million a day?
There's a scene from a movie that I don't remember anything else about this movie. So I'm sorry, but it literally the guy's just on his phone going, buy.
Yep.
Sell. That's all. Like, it's a joke, obviously, but like clearly he's like an 80s stock trader.
Oh, yeah. Right? Like, that's back the in the 80s, it was pieces of paper.
It literally was pieces of paper. Yeah.
But the thing is, all he's doing is on the phone saying one of two words and that's it.
I think it was trading all places.
Anyway, what I wanted to point out is you as a private investor,
correct?
Yeah. When you get the hot tip from whatever C-SPAN thing.
Oh, it's
thing,
too late, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody else has already made their money.
Yep.
And you are just, you're riding the end of whatever.
You're getting the 2%.
You're about to get screwed on it.
Yeah.
My other uncle, another one married into my mom's family.
Damn, cool, that pussy is golden.
Your family isn't intermarrying very often.
Yeah, really?
I thought where you're from, that happened more often.
No, that's my dad's family.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. My mom's family is Polish and from Chicago. My dad's family is from Polk County.
That explains everything.
Now you understand. Yeah. So my mom's family, there's a lot of variety. They're very interesting people. My dad's family, meh.
How do you feel
about four wheelers and bonfires?
Yeah. four wheels on a bonfire? Now you're talking.
Hey, so my other uncle who his father ran speakeasies in Lakeland. Okay.
There it is. So he was doing illegal transactions.
He inherited millions of dollars and property from a guy who did illegal things in Lakeland.
Sure.
In Polk County, right?
Well, so remember, there's plenty of people out there that have made money through all the illegal things. Right. So go ahead. Yes.
The son is responsible for sins of the father. That's
bullshit. Yeah.
But because he had all this money to play with, playing the stock market was his hobby.
Yeah.
And he was very good at it.
Sure.
And I lived with him for a while, and I watched him do it.
What? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's fine.
What?
There's a thing that says we need to renew my session, but I don't have to do that. No, as long as I never push a button, everything's fine.
Yeah, that means nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I watched him because I lived with him for a while, and I watched him play the market in 2010.
Yeah.
Right? And he was playing games, man, and he was running with it.
Yeah.
And at one point he said to me, look – the moment you get financial advice from your taxi, it's too late. From your taxi cab driver, it's too late to sell.
Yes.
You've already lost money.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I've never forgot, like he basically, like, this idea that, like, if word of mouth reaches you, you're behind the eight ball and you've lost money.
When the dealer asks you if you want to hit or you want to stay,
right?
That's the level that you have. That's the same level. No, that's the same level of the stock market. You look at a number and you make the decision of what you want to do, hit. Or stay, or fold. There's only like three things you can do, and that's the same idea. And my favorite part is we should never look up at these people. No. And now in this country, people are looking up because they're getting advice. And here's the advice they're getting: if you know AI, you can then build some application and make a bunch of money. Yep. That's what I am hearing from the AI everybody. People.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
It's like, oh no, you don't need to know anything. You could be mediocre as hell.
Right.
You know, regardless of the fact that I've been doing this for 50 years, it doesn't matter. You can be mediocre as hell and you can make millions of dollars right now if you just leverage AI.
Yeah.
It's the P.T. Barnum. There's a fool born.
Well, no, it's the inverse funnel. Yeah. Right? It's that pyramid scheme that everybody talks about.
Hey, it's weird.
Well, no, and it's that whole idea. And it's frustrating to me because it's like, look, if you're mediocre and have no skills and use quote unquote AI, you can make millions of dollars if you build an app. Okay, cool. Well, what's that app built on? What information is that built
on? Sorry, is that Sam Altman telling on himself?
Yes. And there's tons of companies. Now, this past quarter was the first time that Google has lost money since 2004.
Oh, we're into well-dones?
We're in well-dones. We're in well-dones, yes.
Yeah. Did you see the Meta financial report?
They are also not doing well.
$186 billion?
Yeah.
In the red.
In the red, yes. They're also not doing well. The bubble, my friends. If you were thinking that AI and data centers and all of this was the way to finance the future, the trillion-dollar circle jerk is over.
Get to work on your 6-inch pumps.
Because because the biggest companies that were most positioned to take advantage of AI have failed to take advantage of AI. So guess what? All of those wonderful copper wires inside those data centers are soon to be stripped out by a bunch of crackheads because they're going to close them down.
Oh, you're going to be able to buy them cheap.
Yep.
I no lie, if those server racks go up for auction, I'm buying one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll buy one, like, too.
Oh, everyone should buy it. Everyone should have a server rack in their house.
That rack, I would love to have one of those racks. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Brother, they're cheap as all get out. They're pretty cheap. Yeah.
I'm aware.
I'll show the Canadian later, but I have this beautiful setup of zip ties behind my monitors of multiple Raspberry Pis that make up my network.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm waiting for the N100s to the Blackhawks or what? Blackhawks? Is that what they're called?
I think they are.
Anyway, to come on sale.
Yeah.
And then I'll buy them cheap.
So well done this week mm-hmm. is Google, who and Meta, who are losing money, even though they should be making somehow money hands over fist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Microsoft is also losing money. They just haven't. Mm-hmm.
They refuse to.
They've officially changed their brand name to Microsoft.
Yeah.
Oh, Microloss.
Just micro losses, you know, billions of micro losses.
Micro losses. I have a couple of well-dones up in the show notes here. I want to give a shout out to this one because I don't think we talked about it last week. Well done to the Tate brothers.
Oh, the Tate brothers.
For getting arrested in Miami because they're idiots. And well done to
dressed as women, Andrew no Tate. Less.
Mm.
Huh? Mm.
Dressed as women, no less.
No.
Yeah, you've
those are the most masculine clothes you can wear, sir.
Is that where
you
were going with it?
Culottes and purple shirts, sir. That is the most masculine clothes you can wear.
The most predictable bit on this show is y'all just jumping.
I thought you were moving on to something more.
The Canadian jumped down the comrade's throat yet again. Yeah.
Well, usually it's the revolutionary, but hey.
Well, yeah, I win this time.
Well done to Andrew Tate's calves for being so beautifully underwhelming in his terrible capris and Walmart blouse.
Oh, those shoes were terrible, too.
The loafers as well.
The loafers
were terrible. Look. I'm not a men's fashion guy, but I can tell you that one of the worst things that's ever happened in men's fashion is high water tight fitting suit trousers and loafers.
And too small clothes.
Cool. Yeah.
The jackets are too small too.
Yeah, the whole shrink wrapped suit thing is terrible. But very specifically, I would like my trousers to end mid-shin and have loafers with no socks. Whoever decided that was the right idea, I want to introduce you to a Miami Canal.
Don Johnson in the 80s.
Even he didn't have high waters.
He didn't have high waters, but he had loafers with no socks and a suit jacket in a pastel color and a t-shirt.
Don't we all want to see
that? By the way, I will show you my high school yearbook, which that was my outfit for a year.
Don't get me wrong. I love the hell out of a dress-down suit. That's fun.
Yeah.
This is... Well, like you cannot dress down shrink wrap.
No,
you cannot dress down mid calf capris in your suit. It's crazy.
And I'd also like to point out that the Tate brothers will be extradited to Great Britain, where they are being tried for their crimes.
Yeah,
perfect.
And
the worst thing that could happen is they have the trial here.
Yeah, they can't. Well, remember Trump. I'm sorry, DeSantis. Ron DeSantis allowed them back in the country.
Yes, he did.
Now, they couldn't go anywhere once they got here because they have warrants all over the EU and Southeast Asia and everywhere else.
Apparently, the one place they can go from Miami is London.
Yes. Yeah. And that's where they're going. So well done to Andrew and whatever his brother's name is, Tate.
Is it Chris? Tristan?
Taint.
Tristan.
Tristan. The Taint brothers. Who now get to
Andy and Tristy?
No, his first name is something else. It's not Andrew. It's Torin or something. Right. It's terrible. It's his middle name.
Whoever decided that a chinless Bob's Burgers extra was the peak masculinity level is wild.
Yeah, I agree.
Andrew Tate looks like a carny from Bob's Burgers.
And I'm very happy to the fact that he's being arrested for the crimes that he actually committed, which are human trafficking, rape,
sexual assault,
you name it.
Trafficking.
Yeah, so that, and goodbye, and may you live under prison. And he's so mad right now that he is in quote unquote solitary confinement, which I don't know where he got this butt phone that he's posting these tapes on.
I was going to say
these tweets on
his solitary. Yeah,
and my favorite
I'm not
was
in communication with anybody. Twitter world.
But my favorite part about that is that Christina Ricci eviscerated him on Twitter for his post.
Show out, man.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful.
To me, the funniest thing was he tweeted something like, my roommate, not my roommate, but like
no. My cellmate next door is a cannibal.
Is a cannibal.
Yes, and people
and I'm not suicidal.
Yes,
and then he said something like, "I hear grunting next to me while I read a book."
Yes,
and then somebody was like, "Hey, buddy, is this you?" And it was a tweet for him, like reading is gay.
Yeah. And by the way, I also want to point out Andrew Tate, the warden of the prison, has made a plea to the American public.
Oh.
Please stop sending barbecue sauce for his cannibal neighbor. People were sending bottles of barbecue sauce
to
the prison.
To Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy tacos and get as many Diablo packets as I can, and I will mail them to his
because and again, well done of the week to the individuals who made the commitment to the bit to send barbecue sauce to the prison.
Also, well done to his travel agents for sending him to Miami.
Yeah.
Well, but he's been there for a while. He's been there for a long time. He's been in the States
for several
years. No, he came in.
No, years.
He's been here for a no. He's been here
months,
for maybe, no years.
Years.
He's been here for several years. Ron DeSantis let him in. I'll look it up, but I'm telling you, he came in a while back.
I guarantee you, he did not come back before Trump was reelected.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
I think it was during the Biden administration.
Biden would have arrested him.
It was within the last year, guaranteed.
Yeah.
I feel like it was in the last past.
I think it was this year.
I don't think it was. I think it was. Yeah. Go ahead.
Other well done's. We've got. I want to give a shout out to Mamdani in the city of New York.
Oh yeah,
they're for suing.
Sorry. Yes, you're correct. It was February 27, 2025.
There you go.
After Romanian authorities,
that's way longer than I thought it was.
Yeah,
but
it's
that was
way longer than I thought it was.
Yeah, I told you it was at least a year.
Yeah.
After Romanian authorities lifted travel restrictions following a 2022 arrest.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah. Mamdani.
Mamdani.
Mamdani. Mamdani and the city of New York are suing Kalshi, which is it's not. They call themselves a prediction market.
It's owned by Donald Trump Jr.
Well,
it is. Partially owned by Donald Trump Jr.
I'm aware. He has ownership in it. Yes. That's not the point. The point is they call themselves a prediction market, so they're not considered gambling because their whole sales pitch is we use the intuition of people to predict things in the future, which is bullshit.
Comrade, we could go on Kalshi and we could put our dollar bet on there as a prediction market. We could put that up there and people could bet on it, whatever our dollar bet is.
I mean, Polymarket does the same thing.
Yep, which is also owned by Donald Trump's
son.
And
the weird thing about it, the thing about these
prediction markets,
as they call themselves, is the people who create the bets have vested interest in these.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So as you were saying earlier with like the president and oil futures, we're seeing things like, and we saw it before when we did our initial airstrikes on Iran.
Yep.
There was a Polymarket and Kalshi like crazy long-term, long odds prediction, if you will, on whether or not the United States would strike Iran within the next 12 hours. And then it happened. And somebody made $500,000.
Yeah, right? It was a service member.
Yeah.
It was weird. Yeah. And then it happened again where somebody else made like another $700,000.
Yep.
Like, these things keep happening. So anyway, the state of New York is suing Kalshi for $36 billion as an illegal gambling operation.
Correct, as it should be.
Phenomenal.
As it should be.
I don't know if that's Mamdani or the governor.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's the city of New York.
It's the city of New York, so that's Mamdani.
No, the governor's not going to do it because the governor has to deal with Trump. So Mamdani has to do it. Doesn't have to deal with them.
Mamdani is such a boss. Yeah. I just – well, can I just say well his done name, to Mamdani for existing?
His name is Mamdani.
M-A-M-D-A-N-I. Yeah.
Correct.
Like, I have such a crush on this man for – not only being a cutie patootie, but also like it's embarrassing.
Man crush dummy?
Yeah, man crush dummy. Yeah.
You do whatever you want with that. I don't care. He is embarrassing every local politician because he took office and he just started doing stuff.
Yeah.
And because like what we've been hearing for the past 50 years is, well, you know, it's hard to get things done. Well, there's a lot of stuff in the way. Here comes Mamdani going like, no, we can just do stuff, man.
He is doing things for people and not for
corporations or billionaires. Weird. Yeah.
I mean, our current president took office and doing shit, but he's doing shit for
himself
and a few of his friends who he needs to manipulate to do it with him.
Yeah.
Mamdani is not doing it for himself. He's doing it for everybody else.
Have you seen the Google index on the search for moving to New York?
Yeah. It's crazy.
So basically it was a flat line. Mamdani got elected. It has exploded.
Yeah.
There are corporations desperate to move their headquarters or new offices into downtown New York explicitly because so many people want to be there now.
Yeah.
Airbnb is banned from operating in New York City. They want to put their headquarters there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, well, the billionaires are going to run away. All the tax money.
I'll buy their apartment for cheap.
Hey, there are a lot more rent controlled apartments in New York. Mm-hmm. I follow a lot of fun things like apartment tours and whatever on TikTok.
Oh.
And it's funny how over the course of the past year after Mamdani has been elected, that a lot of them are like, and here's a rent controlled apartment in Dumbo for like $1,400 a month. It's a duplex in Dumbo, which is like beautiful. It's a beautiful area. You can see the Brooklyn Bridge from the apartment, and it's $1,400 a month.
Dude.
And people are like, and before that, by the way, I was sitting on a plane. I told you about this. A guy who is like paying $8,600 a month
in
rent in New Jersey, looking over the Hudson River from his place.
And he's like, rent went up from like $6,600
from $6,600 to $8,600 in like a year. And he's like, I'm out. And it's like,
And he said the best thing I can do is move to Florida
so my kids and wife can go to Disney. Yeah, that was the whole thing. But this whole thing is, and my favorite part is that Mamdani, not only has he created socialist grocery stores in areas that need groceries. They have prices on regular goods that are 30% less.
They have
price on staples
where it's 30% less than your average grocery store.
Right.
And somebody asked him, hey man, how are you going to stop people from like buying it and then price gouging? And he goes, cool, I have an expert on that topic. She's going to answer this question for you.
Yeah. I have people.
Because he knows where his job is and where his job isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so good at this.
Well, and Donald John Trump would go, I have this idea.
We have the best.
I have the best people on this. And
Donald
then he would
John
just,
Trump would say, hey, that's a good idea. Let me get in that.
Yeah.
Trump would go 30% less. Try 30% higher.
Yeah. Well, that's because affordability is a myth. Also, I want to point out, well done to the I can't remember who sets mortgage rates. Is that the Fed?
The Fed.
So the banks do based on the Fed.
So the Fed. No, the Fed has.
That's the interest rate.
The Fed has set the 30-year mortgage rate at 6.66%.
Yep.
The highest it has been in a while.
Since who? Reagan?
It's been a while.
Huh.
So 6.60, which by the way, I just want to point out, comrade, this is the devil's percentage, 6.66%.
Very good.
Very good. And I would like to give a well done to them because now, we're coming into the midterms. well done making housing less affordable for people.
Yep. Right before the midterms.
Right before the midterms. So
it's
well done.
It's almost like they know what they're doing.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
All right.
Are we good? Do we have any more? Any more?
Well, all right, because nobody else brought them up, I'm going to quick shout out. It turns out, weirdly, demonstrated by fact, immigrants, in fact, have no bearing whatsoever on the volume and cost of Medicare fraud.
No.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's Rick Scott.
Could have told you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Doge is also now legally on the hook for a civil lawsuit over data access.
Yep.
Yep.
And a judge has said, yes, in fact, you are liable for this and you must now sit trial.
Yeah.
So congratulations to the justice system for doing a thing.
Finally.
Yeah. Finally.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Should have done a thing with Donald Trump a long time ago.
Yeah. So we are the One Man Revolution Podcast. We are available everywhere that fun podcasts are found, even not fun ones, I guess. We are here every Friday or other days. We're going to be here next week for a brunch cast, as inebriated as we probably will be. Because you know what? That's what we do.
Right.
Until next time, I'm the revolutionary.
I'm the comrade.
I'm the Canadian.
And we are the voice of the resistance. And you hit that little button.